Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Jeff Gilbert of CBS station WWJ in Detroit has more.
When GM made this offer to bondholders, they said it was a long shot, and the bondholders made their objections known immediately. Many feel they can do better in bankruptcy court, and analysts say this rejection makes bankruptcy a virtual certainty. The White House says it expects no filing for GM before next Monday's bankruptcy deadline. Hundreds of people with lawsuits pending against GM are wondering about their fate in bankruptcy court. CBS's Cammy McCormick has that part of the story.
10-year-old Amanda Dennegan is quadriplegic because of an alleged faulty seatbelt, with her health care costing $500,000 a year. Her attorney, Alan Chapey, is concerned.
The net effect of the General Motors bankruptcy filing is Amanda Dennegan is likely to get very little money.
And she's not the only one.
I know some attorneys who have settled cases for very small amounts of money, because they calculated that their clients would get nothing if General Motors filed for bankruptcy.
He and other lawyers are asking Congress to create a fund compensating injury victims if GM does declare bankruptcy. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
And Chrysler will be going back to court today to ask a bankruptcy judge for the green light to sell most of its assets to investors headed by Italy's Fiat. Attorneys for Chrysler say it's the only way for the automaker to avoid being broken up and sold off piecemeal. But more than 100 objections have been filed with the court, and the clock is running. Without a deal by a week from Friday, Fiat could back out. How long will the economy remain in the doldrums? A new survey forecasts brighter days ahead. Chris Mavaris is president of the National Association of Business Economics.
Our panel looks for the recession to end soon. However, the recovery that will follow is expected to be considerably more moderate than those that would typically follow steep declines such as we are now experiencing.
Well, we've all been warned about identity theft. Now it's moving into the doctor's office. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan is here live to explain.
The Identity Theft Resource Center says medical identity theft is on the rise. You or your insurance company gets the bill, but someone else got the care from a doctor or hospital. And the center's Linda Foley says, as in other cases of ID theft, it can leave behind an awful tangle.
Some people are able to clear up the information within 6 months. Other people, 10 years later, they're still not able to clear up that information.
Foley says ID thieves are moving so fast these days, by the time you've discovered the theft, they've moved on to someone else. Nick?
Well, cancer deaths in this country continue falling for 15 years, and the American Cancer Society says that's translated into about 650,000 lives saved. Dr. Otis Brawley is the Society's chief medical officer.
A man's risk of dying from cancer has decreased by almost 19%. A woman's risk of dying from cancer has decreased by about 12%.
A new level of tension on the Korean Peninsula as the North test fires another missile and ratchets up the rhetoric. CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson has more from Beijing.
North Korea, never known to lack imagination when it comes to belligerent rhetoric, was at it again, saying it will no longer abide by the 1953 armistice that ended the Korean War. All this because the South announced it will join a U.S.-led effort at intercepting ships suspected of carrying North Korean weapons on the way to other countries.
Well, Pakistan has been rocked by one of its bloodiest days of the year. Authorities say a car bomb exploded in Lahore near police and intelligence agency offices. About 30 people have been killed, at least 250 wounded. It's 4 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Vice President Joe Biden gives the commencement speech at the Air Force Academy today after hosting a town hall meeting in Denver on green economy jobs yesterday. The VP said much of the federal stimulus money will go toward jobs for the middle class.
The Labor Department is announcing plans to release $500 million from the Recovery Act to prepare workers for careers in energy efficiency and renewable energy sectors.
Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, former U.S. Senator Gary Hart, and former Cabinet Secretary Federico Pena, among others, in attendance. Police say the deaths of three people at a Boulder home were the result of a murder-suicide, and that several guns were found inside the house. Two men and a woman were found dead in the home yesterday. There were fewer fatal accidents on Colorado highways over the Memorial Day weekend.
I think the reduction in crashes were in part due to the overwhelming presence of troopers on the road.
State Patrol Chief Jim Wolfensbarger says none of the deadly crashes over the weekend involved alcohol. Nuggets try to take one in L.A. tonight. Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals tip off at 7 o'clock, and the Rockies finish up their series with the Dodgers this afternoon at Coors Field. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Pretty good start as this morning's commute gets up and running. Pavement's going to be dry and clear, a lot better beginning than yesterday's commute. So speeds are going to be hitting the posted limits on 76 as well as on C-470, that along Highlands Ranch. Should only take you about 10 to 15 minutes driving either direction of 225 between I-70 and I-25. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. We've got a slight chance of seeing some afternoon thunderstorms, most likely after 3. It's going to be a partly cloudy day, high of around 72, 73 degrees, breezy at times. Cool in the overnight, low dropping down to 51. Currently, we're at 45 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tired of happy hour specials that really aren't so special? Try the new Grand...
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as The Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet. After a huge success in movie theaters, Kung Fu Panda is set to hit the small screen. Nickelodeon is planning a 26-episode television series revolving around the martial arts-loving panda Po. It's not known yet if Jack Black will reprise his role as the voice of the panda in the series, which is set to launch sometime next year. Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
So you run Windows at your desk. You have an Airport Express hooked up to your stereo. You want to stream music from your PC to the big speakers. Impossible? Not with Airfoil from the guys at Rogue Amoeba. This isn't anything new, but they've just released version 2.7, which improves many of its features and now supports the Airfoil Speakers Touch app, which streams to your iPhone or iPod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
We had less of a bubble compared to more than half the other cities in the study. Denver, according to the Denver Business Journal, ranks number 3 on a list of the nation's fittest cities. The American College of Sports Medicine's annual Fitness Index report ranks only Washington, D.C. and Minneapolis ahead of Denver. The Denver Aurora metro area scored 71.6 in the report. And Denver ranked number 2 among U.S. cities in personal health indicators related to health behaviors, chronic health problems, and health care. Tom Tancredo is in the news. He was on TV last night once again, making wildly incendiary remarks, this time calling President Obama's Supreme Court nominee, Sonia Sotomayor, racist. We'll get back into that issue in a little bit. National news. The California Supreme Court has essentially allowed the gay marriage ban in that state to stand. The ruling upholds a ban on same-sex marriages and shows that, this is at least according to the Washington Post, despite a year of successes for gay activists, the road towards full marriage rights remains difficult. Particularly, says the Washington Post, when voters are given a direct say. New York Times reports that President Obama's campaign to cut health care costs by $2 trillion over the next decade, announced with fanfare 2 weeks ago, may have hit a snag, the nation's antitrust laws. Antitrust lawyers say doctors, hospitals, insurance companies, and drug makers will be running huge legal risk if they get together and agree on a strategy to hold down prices and reduce the growth of healthcare spending, said one former Federal Trade Commission official. Any agreement among competitors with regard to price or price increases, even if they set a maximum, raises legal concerns. The Wall Street Journal reports on healthcare that drug company executives are aiming to prevent steep cuts in prescription prices by joining that effort to overhaul the U.S. healthcare system. Their approach contrasts sharply with their behavior 15 years ago when they, of course, helped defeat President Clinton's reform efforts. And so they're trying to start this time around by being at the table, hoping that if they are at the table, at the negotiating table, they can negotiate a health care reform package that essentially subsidizes them without asking them to cut their prices. Remember, about one-third of research and development for drugs is funded by you and me, the taxpayer. And we are paid back for that investment with the highest prescription drug prices in the world. And, of course, the drug industry is typically among the most profitable industries, profit margins in the country. Not surprising. When you have a lot of your R&D funded by the taxpayers for free, it's easier to make lots of money off every dollar of your own investment. In that Supreme Court fight, this upcoming Supreme Court fight, conservative groups know they want to oppose nominee Sonia Sotomayor, but the Politico reports exactly how that campaign will be conducted is a major unanswered question that is splitting the Republican right. Pat Robertson in the news saying Republicans have got to take a stand on this one. That's a direct quote. If they don't, they can kiss their chances of ever getting back into power away. Not really sure I see that. I don't get it. Sotomayor would be the first Hispanic woman, first Hispanic on the court. Last week we discussed a story in the Politico about Republicans seriously losing support among Hispanics. It's not clear to me how opposing this nominee would help them, for instance, among that demographic. The Hill newspaper reports, here's an unfortunate potential problem of the Sotomayor nomination. The Hill News reports that Obama's decision to nominate her may help him delay a thornier challenge. What to do with millions of illegal immigrants living in the United States? The nomination of the first Hispanic justice drew praise Tuesday from the Latino community at a time when many are growing anxious over inaction on broad legislation that would put undocumented workers on a path to citizenship. So is this nomination, will it serve to help Obama and those who don't want to deal overtly with the immigration issue, will it help them not have to deal with that? Senate election news, Harry Reid, new polls out showing him extremely weak in Nevada in his re-election race for 2010. Republicans don't have a candidate yet against him. However, the Politico reports that Washington Republicans have criticized him for his glitzy Las Vegas fundraiser Tuesday, where donors could pay $29,000 to have their picture taken with President Obama. In that Supreme Court fight, while seven Senate Republicans voted for Judge Sonia Sotomayor when she became a federal appeals court judge in 1998, Republican aides warned yesterday that her record on the circuit and public statements could make those same seven think again. In tax news, the Washington Post reports that with budget deficits soaring and President Obama pushing a big expansion of health care coverage, some Washington policymakers are taking a fresh look at a national sales tax. This is an awful idea. An absolutely awful idea. Why? Because a sales tax is one of the most regressive kinds of tax policies you can put out there. Regressive meaning lower and working class folks, middle class folks, pay a higher percentage of their income under a national sales tax than they do under a progressive income tax. Put another way, a national sales tax typically means a huge tax increase on the middle and working class and a massive tax cut for the very rich. Unfortunately, one of the folks leading the fight for this, apparently, is Senator Ken Conrad, the Democrat from North Dakota. General David Petraeus made some news yesterday. Military.com, the news service for the military, reports that Petraeus thinks that on balance, the expected closure of the Guantanamo Bay detention facility and abandonment of so-called enhanced interrogation techniques will help American efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as in our fight against transnational extremist violence and terrorism. So Petraeus now out taking a pretty progressive position, echoing what the Obama administration is saying. New survey out from New Zealand, from the Royal Austrian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists, insists that 1 in 12 people who play video games are actually addicted to those video games. And in our final story, if you happen to be in the market to buy a house on the North Shore of Chicago, evidently you can become the proud owner of the Highland Park home featured in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The house for sale was immortalized in the classic scene in which Cameron, frustrated with his dad, kicks his dad's Ferrari and sends it flying out the floor-to-ceiling windows and into the ravine below. The 5,300-square-foot house is on the market for a cool $2.3 million. And apparently they fixed that wall, or that glass, that the Ferrari went through. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, so today we got a really, really great show for you. In the 9 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking with a guy, a scientist, who's written a new book about something really apocalyptic potentially coming in 2012, and a very easy solution to it. It deals with the sun and solar flares. So you're going to want to stick around for that. In the 8 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking to the Center for American Progress about the Supreme Court fight. And after, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to get on the line Tom Hartman, who you hear right here on AM 760 from 1 to 4. And the open question of the hour, what do you think about the right freaking out about Sonia Sotomayor's nomination. There was a huge amount of backlash yesterday. It's pretty obvious that the right is going to fight this. What do you make of it? We've got a big fight coming up. What do you make of the first day of Sotomayor's nomination, her coming out party, if you will? Let me just read you, before we hit a break here, let me just read you some of the reaction to her nomination. Mitt Romney, the nomination of Sotomayor is troubling. Mike Huckabee says that it's the clearest indication yet that President Obama's campaign to be a centrist was mere rhetoric. Tom Tancredo saying that Sotomayor is a racist. What do you think about this? We've got open phones, 303-713-7600. And we'll go back to our discussion about Sotomayor and the issue of race, gender, class, and privilege. After the break, I'm going to replay a phone conversation we had here on this show. I think you're going to be shocked to hear it. You got to hear this caller we had really freaking out about Sotomayor and the implications that he said he sees for race, class, and ethnic relations in this country. He really freaked out. You got to listen to this. So stick around. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 921. Excuse me, 921. I wish it was 921. It's 621. Let's get a traffic update.
Volume is starting to build for southbounders on I-25 downtown. Also seeing a few more cars. Also on the southbound side of 25, this on the approach to 84th. Outside the metro, seeing foggy conditions along I-25, Fort Collins area, as well as 70. This across the plains right around Lyman. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Stretch your dollar with Sonic's new Everyday Value menu and get a variety of great food like... Enjoy the summer on your outside deck. The Lumber Guy offers the lowest prices on everything you need to build a new deck or refurbish your existing one. The Lumber Guy has unbeatable prices on popular paved stone and retaining wall blocks. Make your home projects affordable with quality building materials from The Lumber Guy. 40 to 70% savings every day. The Lumber Guy is easy to find at East 50th and Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, right on 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If The Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan. Both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
I heard these guys last night. It's Jane's Addiction. I was at the Jane's Addiction and Nine Inch Nails concert. I've got weird musical taste. I go from Van Morrison and Nick Drake to Nine Inch Nails. I don't really know what I'd call my taste. 624, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The Sonia Sotomayor nomination has drawn a lot of criticism already from the right. Tom Tancredo on the Tube yesterday basically calling Sotomayor a racist. Sotomayor gave that speech in 2001 saying that essentially people's experience, gender, ethnicity, heritage impacts the way they look at the world. And it definitely impacts judges' rulings. And this is apparently controversial. This is apparently proof that she's somehow a racist. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Check out, listen to this call that we got yesterday. Because this is what's going to, the right is going to try to tap into. We're going to hear the right try to tap into the idea that this is a supposedly a colorblind, class-free, gender-equal nation. And that Sotomayor, in her rulings and in her speeches, in saying that that's actually not true, represents some sort of radical racist element that shouldn't be put on the Supreme Court. And they're going to be trying to tap into kind of a white backlash. And this is what that white backlash sounds like. This is a call we got yesterday at the end of our show that was, well, pretty intense. Take a listen. Jeff in Denver, you're on AM 760. Jeff.
Hey, I think you're a person that can't get a job doing anything other than stirring problems with the general population because you've got nothing to offer yourself. And any minority that isn't working right now with every minority law that helps everybody out is a person that doesn't want to apply themselves. You are an absolute disgrace to my country, America, which is the best country in the world.
If you don't like America, you can get out. If you don't like America, you can get out.
I love this country. I hate people like you. You're a pathetic, disgusting, pathetic loser to say that the rest of this country hasn't done what's right to treat people fair. Every white person is fair to minorities. It's losers like you that make things enable of people that don't want to apply themselves to think they can run on a free ticket. Nobody out there is racist. Everybody's decent to everybody. You're an absolute loser that instills stupidity in people by thinking they have something coming when they don't. Screw you and the American people. You're a disgrace to this country. You shouldn't be allowed on a deal. You're a loser.
All right, that was the call. And the most interesting part of that call, I think, was the fact that you heard somebody say, well, you know, there is no racism in this country. That there is no overt racism, and there is no structural racism in this country. And I think this is the kind of thing that we're going to be hearing a lot of in the next couple weeks and months. And I think it's going to be at times frightening. I think it's going to be at times a little bit scary, but I think it's going to be good. And I say that because I think we clearly, this country clearly has a lot of repression issues around race. It's my take that in the 80s and 90s, we have grown into a country that doesn't want to talk about race, class, gender, and inequality in general. That after the 60s and 70s, where those issues were so on the table, so front and center for so long, the backlash, the Republican right-wing backlash that was channeled into a very, very effective political strategy was aimed at ending any discussion of that inequality. In part, I think, to absolve us as a society from systemic inequality. Basically to make us feel better. Hey, we're not so bad. You know, remember the whole the Blame America First crowd? That was the mantra of the right, which was basically a part of saying, listen, we shouldn't feel bad about structural inequality, because we are supposedly a colorblind, classless, gender equal nation. And that whole politics of backlash is going to be dredged up through the Sotomayor nomination. And I think that's healthy. In that I don't think the backlash is healthy, but I think finally getting back to a situation where we try to have a discussion
it will be, I hope, cathartic. And it's not that the backlash is going to be good, but it'll be aired out. And when you hear it in such a visceral kind of way as you heard in that call, I think it's going to teach us that we as a country can mature past that. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Dave on the cell. You're on AM 760.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
That call you played from yesterday, that to me that just sounds like somebody that might have lost his job because of downsizing or something happened to him, and he's blaming all his problems on everybody else because he's too lazy to try to pick himself back up.
Well, that was that's how backlash politics works, right? Like people, you know, bad economic times hit, and one of the things that the right has done so well when bad economic times hits typically has been to get working people to be to fight against working people. And
you start to blame it on the poor and blame it on minorities is what happens most of the time. It's sad.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing. This Sotomayor nomination is going to become a flashpoint because I guarantee, I mean, look, Tom Tancredo said it. He says, you know, Sotomayor's a racist. You know, I mean, they're going to use this nomination as a vehicle to try to dredge up that ethnic cultural backlash. And,
oh, yeah, they're going to try to get everybody, they're going to try to get all the people who honestly believe this country is fair to be up in arms and freaking up and freaking out about it.
That's right.
It's really not the truth. That's people that are, you know, I shouldn't say uneducated, but uninformed about what's really going on in the country.
No, that's exactly right. And I think that I think that the question is whether we'll be able to have a mature discussion about this, or whether this is really going to devolve into the ugliest kind of racial and ethnic baiting. I mean, I don't trust Senate Republicans farther than I can throw them. You know, people like Jeff Sessions from Alabama, the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy has a horrific record on racial issues. If there's anybody in the Senate that's gonna try to use this debate to stir up those kinds of hatreds, it's him. And, you know, I think we all have to be prepared for it. But again, call me crazy. I think it's a good thing. You know, I mean, I think I got to give Obama a lot of credit for making a nomination like this, almost regardless of where Sotomayor is on issues.
I think it's great, personally. You know, the right wouldn't be happy with any pick unless he put like David Duke or somebody in there, then they'd be happy for, you know, with it. But other than that, they aren't gonna be happy with anything he does.
No, that,
you know, if she had a comment that said, you know, 10 years ago that said, had a good Friday, you know, have a good Friday, they'd say, oh, she discriminated against the other 6 days of the week. You know, that's what the Republicans do.
Yeah, that's totally right. And the thing is that you're right. They would have opposed any nominee of Obama. And I want to be clear. I am not 100% happy with the Sotomayor nomination, at least not up front, on the potential policy ramifications of it. If you read the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times over the weekend, you saw a couple stories that talked about how basically big business groups are not worried about Obama's list of potential replacements, including Sotomayor, because they don't represent major change on key economic issues. And the court, of course, 50% or even more of the court's cases deal with business and economic issues. And so the business community basically says this doesn't really represent a change, which tells me that, you know, that doesn't make me all that happy because I think we do need a change in our economic laws. However, on the issues of gender, race, privilege, and class, the social issues that the court deals with, this is, I think, a very good pick. And I think the nomination fight that Obama has created by it through this, and he knows he's created it, is going to be a good thing because we may be able to finally start discussing these issues of race, class, gender, and privilege in a more open way. But that backlash is going to come out, and it's going to be ugly. And we got to be prepared for it. Thanks for the call. 634, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, Tom Hartman. The guy you hear on AM 760 from 1 to 4. So stick around. Let's get a traffic update.
Volume starting to build for southbounders on I-25 approaching 84th. We're also seeing a few more cars downtown, especially on that southbound side. C-470 looking good along the foothills. Same deal on 6th Avenue, both in and out of Lakewood. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a relatively mild day with a high of about 71, 72 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Currently, it's 46. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tired of happy hour specials that really aren't so special? Try the new Grand Happy Hour at Grand Lux Cafe, weekdays from 4 to 6 at Park Meadows Mall. They have daily specials on appetizers, beer, wine, and today's featured cocktail, the Vodka Pink Lemonade, is only $5.
Today on the Mario...
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business. All for a buck an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 1-800-491-8149 or click on the banner above to go straight to our website. Remember, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Here's that number again, 1-800-491-8149.
All right, as promised, joining us now is Tom Hartman. You hear him here on AM 760 from 1 to 4. He gets up early every week to join us once a week for an interrogation, sans waterboarding. We do not waterboard Tom Hartman on this program. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I can waterboard myself here, Dave, on your behalf. I'm fine. How are you today?
Good, good, good. So we were talking yesterday and today about, obviously, the Supreme Court nomination. I see the nomination as the second major move Obama has made, probably, if not in his entire career, then in his career as a presidential candidate and president, that really, I think, deliberately and explicitly opens up a discussion about race, gender, privilege, and inequality. Obviously, his race speech in Philadelphia on the campaign trail, but Sotomayor has made a lot of provocative comments on these issues, provocatively good, in my opinion. Do you see it that way? I mean, do you think this confirmation fight is going to focus in on those comments and those issues? Do you think the right is going to try to use this confirmation fight to dredge up sort of backlash, racial, ethnic politics of the 80s and 90s?
To some extent, I think that going after her right now is going to present the same problem going after Clarence Thomas did for Democrats. On the other hand, I think that this nomination also demonstrates that Barack Obama is not Lyndon Johnson in 1964. She is a very, very right down the middle person. You look at her at the way that she has judged cases, and she has in virtually all cases deferred to stare decisis, to previous decisions. And, you know, she's not, I mean, she's as far from being a judicial activist as you can get. And there are some of us out here who are saying, you know, we really would have liked an Earl Warren. We really, who, by the way, was nominated by Eisenhower, by a Republican. But, you know, we really would have liked a an activist on the court. You know, a left-wing version of Scalia and Roberts and Thomas and who am I missing?
Alito. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, all of those guys, Scalia in particular, were quite famous for being activists, for being outspoken, for having strong opinions, for you know, believing in a particular way, and not being nutballs, but just being, you know, strong. You know, Bork obviously was the nutball, you know, and the nutballness got him, not the opinionatedness. But the Republicans feel no compunction whatsoever about appointing somebody to the court who has, you know, very, very, very strong and historic ties to right wing groups, and I mean, Rehnquist used to be in the associated with the John Birch Society. His main job in Arizona when he lived there, or one of the things that he loved to do, was to go to the polls and challenge Native Americans and Africans, prevent them from voting. You know, it's like, and you know, I think she's a marvelous nominee. But she's also, she's also rather milquetoast. It's amazing to me that the right is even trying to challenge her.
All right, wait, I don't understand. How can she be a marvelous nominee if you also sound somewhat disappointed that she's not as...
She's David Souter. You know, the one nomination that was made in recent years, where the Republicans took a chance, where George Herbert Walker Bush, as I recall, took a chance and said, you know, I'm going to appoint somebody who's just got a good, solid background of judicial experience on the bench. And because he comes from New Hampshire, he's probably a conservative. And, you know, with regard to the abortion issue anyway, a lot of, you know, so all of the recent nominees have been Catholics, on the assumption that that would influence, you know, that was a dog whistle to the mm-hmm. anti-abortion folks. But Souter was the exception to that, and Bush took a lot of flack for that. But because there was no way of knowing his position on abortion, which of course was the big hot button issue. But Souter had, you know, a very Sotomayor like judicial history. He pretty much always ruled down the middle. He rarely challenged established law. He was a moderate.
And this would explain, of course, the Wall Street Journal story that I caught this weekend, which basically said that the business community is not nervous and has not been nervous about the list of folks on Obama's Supreme Court nominee shortlist. Basically saying that he had a lot of folks on there who really hadn't challenged, as you said, haven't really challenged the status quo, especially at least in the story I read on issues of economics, you know, because the story was saying that what 50% or even almost 60% of the court's cases are business cases. They're not the social issues cases.
That's right.
And you know, Souter was, as you said, I guess for the court, pretty moderate. But I mean, as a progressive, I mean, on a lot of those issues, he made some rulings that were pretty, you know, he voted with a majority that's been pretty dang conservative. And
he's a pro-business semi-libertarian.
And is that, in your estimation, is that on those sets of issues, is that where we can expect Sotomayor to be?
I think so. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, she worked for a big law firm advocating transnational law, just like John Roberts used to work for a big law firm advocating the personhood of corporations. And I think that this is one of the biggest issues of our day. I mean, we really need a Harry Blackmun. We really need somebody who is going to fight the economic fights. And if you look at this is one of the things that, in my opinion, draws a big contrast between and I don't know, you might want to dig into this, and if I'm right, you're a brilliant writer, your columns go far and wide, maybe this is something that would be of interest. The the FDR was frustrated at every turn in trying to put through the really radical parts of the New Deal. I mean, the really radical stuff like Social Security and the minimum wage. I mean, the Supreme Court had declared that the minimum wage was unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, I think, 35 or 36 that finally he had an opening on the court and he could flip the balance of the court and on economic issues and start doing what had been decried by the previous court as socialism as and as unconstitutional and ultimately what saved American capitalism. And we don't have a court like that now, even remotely. And it seems that that's just fine with Barack Obama, that he's been going with the big corporations right from the get-go. You know, he was in favor of single-payer health care, and now he's not even sure he wants a public option on the table with regard to health care. He's done nothing to walk back corporate personhood. He voted for protecting the big telco corporations with the FISA law. You know, the list is actually rather substantial of the ways that Barack Obama has been behaving like a good corporate soldier. And
you think that this Supreme Court nomination comports with that?
Yeah.
We're talking to Tom Hartman. You hear him here on AM 760 from 1 to 4. Tom, it sounds like you're channeling your inner Sirota, or maybe I've always been channeling my inner Hartman.
Both channeling our inner Nader.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, I then answer this question then. Why? What is the reason for this? What is the reason? Because you and I have both been talking about this, even since the campaign, which is the idea that Obama is good on lots of issues, but when it comes to actually where the rubber hits the road in terms of corporate power, that whole set of issues, he's not necessarily particularly power challenging.
No, he's not. And frankly, we haven't really had a president who was since Roosevelt. Harry Truman tried to, but he ended up with a Republican Congress, and they overturned his veto of Taft-Hartley and prevented him from passing single-payer health care legislation, all kinds of things. And that's, frankly, for me, that's been the biggest disappointment of the Obama presidency, and it's one that's sufficiently subtle that I think most Americans don't even get it, so I don't rant about it on the air a lot. But, you know, putting Geithner and Summers in there.
Right.
I mean, it's like waving a big red flag and saying, hey, you know, here's who I am. This is what we're all
about. It's actually like waving a big white flag. Right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's actually like waving a big flag covered with corporate logos.
Yeah, exactly.
The old Adbusters flag.
Well, okay, then in terms of the Supreme Court, this nomination, assuming it goes through, is it safe to say, in your estimation, that it's not really going to really change the court from a legal ruling perspective? I mean,
I don't think so. I really very much think that she is going to be she's going to be David Souter with regard to issues that impact women and minorities. There's a probability, simply as she pointed out, because of her experience in life, that she'll bring more nuance and more insight to these kind of decisions. And the classic case, or the recent case, is the teenage girl who was strip searched, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg making the comment that, you know, the men on the court who basically joked about it don't understand what it's like to be a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sonia Sotomayor understands what it's like to be a teenage girl, and she understands what it's like to be a Hispanic teenage girl,
and at
all ages. And, you know, and that's a valuable and useful thing. And it may even have some economic consequence. It may cause her, when she starts looking at economic issues, to look at them through a different lens.
So
far it hasn't.
Top line, you won't see a shift in the votes on the court, but you might see some shifts in, for instance, how rulings are written or opinions that set, you know, various legal tests, legal parameters. You might see some shift, or as you said, some more nuance issues.
It could be, or it could be that, you know, on the social issues, she'll be a stronger voice than Souter was. But the thing that concerns me, I mean, yesterday I opened my show with an anti-abortion guy because he was the only guy on the right we could find to talk about her at the time that we were going on the air. and who knew of her and knew who she was. And he said, well, Roe v. Wade is the most important decision of the 20th century, and it's got to be overturned. I said, no, the most important decisions of the 20th century are Buckley versus Vallejo and First National Bank of Boston versus Bilotti. And they need to be overturned because those two decisions stand in the way of campaign finance reform. And without campaign finance reform, you're going to continue to have an oligopoly, basically. You're going to have, you know, corporate rule up and down. Not just up and down, not just in the presidency, but throughout the House and Senate, and through every state house and every governor's office in this country, and she's not going to overturn those decisions.
Right. Tom Hartman, you hear him here on AM 760 from 1 to 4. Tom, thanks for getting up early. It's always good to talk to you, and I feel like we're channeling our inner Sirotas and Hartmans today.
There you go.
It's good talking.
Good talking
to you, man.
With you, David.
All right,
keep
thanks.
Up the great work.
Thanks, man. That was Tom Hartman. You hear him here on AM 760 from 1 to 4. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to go back to the phones. 303-713-7600. Bob and Laura, I know you're holding. We'll get back to you. We'll get to your calls after the break. We got a couple open lines. 303-713-7600. Do you think the Sotomayor nomination is going to open up a big discussion about race, gender, and privilege in this country? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think Sotomayor's comments have been too controversial? And do you agree with Tom Hartman? Or are you concerned about what Tom Hartman said about how Sotomayor might not be much of a change when it comes to economic policy? What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll take your calls after a traffic update.
The sun is coming out, and some of those eastbound routes are starting to suffer. C-470 getting a little bit sluggish on that approach to Platte Canyon. Same deal for eastbounders on 36, this on the approach to Pecos. Now there's also some westbound delays like 76, starting right around 74th, taking you up to 270, where speeds are going to drop into the 30s and 40s. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Jazzy geraniums and perfect petunias can be yours this year. It's easy. Use Eco All-Purpose Potting Mix, then sit back, enjoy the results, and take the credit. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit Richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
Tom Hartman on AM 760.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
We'll all pitch it. If humans can do it, so can we.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Log on to SmokeyBear.com to find out what you can do. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Say goodbye to rush hour traffic with TomTom's unique IQ Routes technology. Unlike ordinary GPS devices, TomTom uses actual drive times to find you the fastest way to get anywhere, at any time. TomTom. Go confidently.
Looking for a smart buy in a new best-in-class automobile? Then look at the Chevy Malibu. For the money, there just isn't a better choice. And for a dealer to buy it from, there isn't a better choice than Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at DenverMalibu.com or MalibuDenver.com. Any way you spell it, it's PurefoyChevrolet.com.
.653, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk on a much nicer day than it was yesterday in terms of the weather. It's going up to about 70, 74. It's a little hazy out there, but I can see the mountains, which means it's going to be a good day and potentially a sandals day. All right, we're going to go to the phones. 303-713-7600, your thoughts on the Sotomayor nomination. Do you think it's going to dredge up a discussion about race, class, and gender? Tom Tancredo on the tube yesterday calling Sotomayor a racist. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Bob on the cell. You're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, David.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? I think this is part of the GOP death spiral. I love it. I hope it does bring up race and gender because they lose on all those issues, particularly with young people. I just hope they continue it because it will just push more and more young people into the Democratic Party. I love it. I think that we have no idea what she'll be like as Supreme Court justice in her opinion, but I'm optimistic because like a lot of Obama picks, they are based on getting very, very smart people, learned people, people who've got great experience. We're not having these people like Clarence Thomas is a classic example of absolutely zero experience. I mean, what do you think was used to justify Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court? I mean, the guy had absolutely zero experience, nothing at all. The only thing that was relied upon was his life experience. And the Republicans at that point thought that he was a wonderful nomination. So I'm all for this. I think it's a bit of a layup. It's an easy pick for Obama based on substance. And one other thing, you mentioned early back about one-third of funding for pharmaceutical research coming from the government. I think that's a little off. I know that NIH gives 1 or 2% of their entire budget for R&D for pharmaceuticals.
It's about 36%. 36% of basic research. Basic research that goes to then either pharmaceutical companies, biotech companies. 36% of all basic scientific research in this country is funded by the government, through the NIH, through various other agencies.
But their budget, only 1 to 3% of their entire budget goes to drug discovery. So
hold on a minute. There's a difference between basic research and specifically drug discovery, right? I mean, basic research means the research where you're researching something that you don't really know exactly what the practical applications are going to be. Drug companies in general don't like to do basic research because it's the riskiest kind of research, right? You're just out there exploring. And you ultimately end up often stumbling onto things which then have commercial value. So you can't just look at what they're doing only in their specific pharmaceutical research. It's basic research. Thanks for the call, Bob. 657, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. If we don't get to your calls before the top of the news, stick around. We'll get to them after the top of the news. Leon in Aurora, you're on AM 760.
Yes, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to comment on the gentleman that called yesterday. I listened to him when he was talking to you yesterday.
Right.
And one of the issues that I had was he was rude and he was disrespectful, yes. But at what point in time do we stop looking at one race of people as the problem when, you know, it's all races of people. You know, you'll find sometimes that a black person can go apply for a job and the interviewer is black and won't hire him. You know, it happens with every race of people. It happens with Hispanics. There's racist Hispanics. There's racist white people. There's racist black people. But we want to point our finger always at one, you know, race of people when if we're ever going to somewhat try to deal with that problem, we need to come to the table, not colorblind, but come to the table with the fact that not all races, not one race of people, but all races of people, and it's not every person in that race that has this problem.
That's exactly right, and we also have to come to terms with the fact that we still are a very unequal society. We can't continue denying that we have these iniquities, and I hope the Sotomayor confirmation fight gets a conversation going about that. Stick around. We'll talk more about this after the national news.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America, and it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the the state of Colorado based on 2008 R.L. Polk data.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. The answer is no. General Motors says few GM bondholders agreed to swap debt for company stock, so the offer is off the table. CBS's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit tells us GM needed bondholder concessions to stay out of bankruptcy.
The GM board will now need to decide where they go next, and many analysts are concerned that will mean bankruptcy. Dave Cole from the Center for Auto Research says that could be very risky.
This is a very fragile industry right now. The suppliers are right at the edge of the cliff, and something like this could push them over.
Next Monday is GM's government-set bankruptcy deadline. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
It's been less than 24 hours since President Obama nominated Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court, but supporters and critics are already squaring off. Julia Tarver Mason was Sotomayor's law clerk in the 1990s.
Judge Sotomayor is, if anything, a legal purist. She is not someone who is going to try to reach a particular result in a particular case.
Ed Whalen of the Conservative Ethics and Public Policy Center says Sotomayor's personal feelings have influenced her decision.
The American people understand judges ought to be umpires, neutrally saying what the law is.
Senate Republicans say the judge's legal philosophy should get a close look during the confirmation process. Someone you don't even know goes to the hospital and you get stuck with a bill. It happens. Live to CBS's Steve Kathan. How does it happen, Steve?
Well, when it comes to ID theft, a Social Security number can unlock the door to just about anything, including medical care. Linda Foley's tracking more of it at the Identity Theft Resource Center, finding more cases where thieves use ID or credit card numbers as fast as they can and move on.
Just use it for like 1 week and then go on to another one, which makes them virtually impossible to catch.
Victims can spend months or years clearing things up. Frank?
9 out of 10 economists in a new poll say the end of the recession is in sight. Chris Farveris is the president of the National Association for Business Economics.
Our panel looks for the recession to end soon. However, the recovery that will follow is expected to be considerably more moderate than those that would typically follow steep declines such as we are now experiencing.
Was the deck stacked in favor of American Idol winner Chris Allen? It turns out that AT&T, a major sponsor of the Fox TV show, supplied phones for free text messaging services at parties organized by Allen's fans. Company spokesman Mark Siegel says they even showed supporters how to cast blocks of votes with the push of a single button.
Some of our associates did give people coaching on how to do text messaging at these parties, probably a little more than they should have, and that's certainly a situation we're going to address.
An abandoned tire dump is going up in smoke in Hawkins, Texas. Thick smoke has forced people from nearby homes, and schools and towns will be closed for the second straight day. Just ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up about a point. This is CBS News.
You know, there's a lot to think about when you're buying a new car. Take the Accord from Honda, for example. It has a higher resale value than any of its competitors. And because of its exceptional engineering, it can mean low maintenance costs. So what's the bottom line? The Accord costs less money over the long term. And that's music to anyone's ears.
Based on Edmunds.com's true costs are owned for the first 5 years of ownership. 2009 Accord, winner of the ALG Residual Value Award, midsize car segment.
Kevin?
Yeah, Mom?
I've heard they might start drug testing in your school, so I need to ask. Have you ever done pot?
No.
Cocaine?
No.
Mexican speedballs?
No.
Beanies, hydro, wiffle dust, disco biscuits?
It's yeah. Time for First Check Home Drug Test. With just a sample in a cup, you get results in minutes, as accurate as a lab screening. Find First Check now at CVS or learn more at firstcheckradio.com.
Ever dank, zigzag?
Maybe.
Check first with First Check.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. The scrutiny's begun on Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Senator Mark Udall.
By all accounts, she's a very accomplished jurist. She has a compelling life story, and my first impression is that she would be a very positive addition to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Udall says he plans to take his time and hopes to meet with the Supreme Court nominee before confirmation hearings begin. Vice President Joe Biden talking up the future of green jobs in Denver yesterday.
Green jobs are good jobs. They pay 10 to 20% more depending on the definition of
a green job.
Biden announced plans to make public housing more energy efficient with a program that would train residents to make the upgrades. The vice president will deliver the commencement address at the Air Force Academy today. The search to find a Colorado climber missing on Mount McKinley in Alaska has been scaled back. Dr. Gerald Myers of Centennial has been missing for a week. Nuggets Lakers game 5 tonight in Los Angeles. The series tied at 2 apiece, and the Rockies and Dodgers finish their series this afternoon at Coors Field. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale, Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Watch out for some slowdowns building on the southbound side of I-25 coming out of Thornton and Northland due to a multi-vehicle accident being reported north of 84th. Southbound 225 really dragging after Parker Road, taking you up towards I-25. 6th Avenue getting busy. Bryant to I-25 as well. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. Going to be a mild one. High of around 72 degrees. Currently, we're at 49. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If healthy plants and beautiful flowers are what you want, then Eco Compost is what you need. You've tried the rest, now use the best. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman here to tell you about another proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Do you have missing teeth? Get a permanent solution. Dr. Lori Kemet and her associates at Incredible Smiles have new scanning technology to accurately place implants in the densest part of the bone without the need for exploratory incisions. Eliminate loose partials or painful dentures. Replace missing teeth without bridges. Get incredible implants at Incredible Smiles. Call now for a complimentary consultation, 303-77-SMILE, or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
706, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. You're in bed, get up. It is a beautiful day out there. It's midweek, so it has to be nice. It's the weekends that are always, lately, always been gross. I was at the Jane's Addiction and Nine Inch Nails concert last night. And it was a fantastic, fantastic concert. I saw Turk there and his wife, and now Turk is not here. Kate is here. Evidently, I got to come in to work after a concert, but Turk doesn't. I feel like calling him and waking him up. All right, we're going to get back to the phones, 303-713-7600. We're talking about the Sonia Sotomayor nomination. Before we get back to the phones, just to set the stage here for what we're discussing, listen to this call that we got at the end of the day yesterday that I think epitomizes the kind of backlash politics that we're going to be seeing generally. We're going to see, in my estimation, the right conservatives try to tap into a sort of white backlash politics through the Sotomayor nomination. And it was going to sound, I think, something like this. Jeff in Denver, you're on AM 760. Jeff.
Hey, I think you're a person that can't get a job doing anything other than stirring problems with the general population, because you got nothing to offer yourself. And any minority that isn't working right now, with every minority law that helps everybody out, is a person that doesn't want to apply themselves. You are an absolute disgrace to my country, America, which is the best country in the world.
If you don't like America, you can get out. If you don't like America, you can get out.
I love this country. I hate people like you. You're a pathetic, disgusting, pathetic loser to say that the rest of this country hasn't done what's right to treat people fair. Every white person is fair to minorities. It's losers like you that make things enable of people that don't want to apply themselves to think they can run on a free ticket. Nobody out there is racist. Everybody's decent to everybody. You're an absolute loser that instills stupidity in people by thinking they have something coming when they don't. Screw you on the American people. You're a disgrace to this country. You shouldn't be allowed on a radio. You're a loser.
So that was the call yesterday. And if you're not laughing right now, remember, there's something serious in there. which is this idea that we live in a race-blind, color-blind, gender-equal society, which, of course, is the myth that is propagated throughout our media and throughout our political system, and that anybody who says otherwise, especially somebody nominated for the Supreme Court like Sonia Sotomayor, is labeled as some sort of radical, somebody who hates America. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. It's actually not kind of ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And it's my bet that the Sotomayor nomination is going to spur a discussion of these issues in a pretty serious way. Sotomayor was quoted in 2001 in a major speech, as just one example, where she, her whole speech is about how people's gender, ethnicity, heritage impacts their rulings on the court. And the most controversial of these statements was where she said that a wise Latino woman, with the richness of her experiences, would more often than not reach better conclusions than a white male who hasn't lived that life. That's probably the most controversial comment. She's also ruled, she has some rulings where she supported affirmative action. And it's my guess that the right is going to try to dredge up this old backlash, racial backlash politics of the 1980s that you heard voiced from that caller yesterday. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. Dana in Evergreen, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Great show as always.
Thank you.
You know, I hadn't heard that call until this morning of the gentleman that called and said that there are no racists in this country. And I'd like to remind him of a young man that was tied to a fence post in Wyoming and killed. The gentleman in Texas that was dragged behind a car. And if he doesn't believe there's racists, he ought to drive through the South once or twice and get an education on America.
Well, but the thing is that, and I've been doing some research for my book, which is about a lot of the 80s. You know, I think it's fair to say that overt racism has become much diminished than it was back in ages past. We tend to look at, and the problem is that we tend to look at racism in this country as something of the past. Well, because we don't have the KKK running around. At least not to the extent that it was in the past, oh, we've solved racism. Well, meanwhile, we have a statistics after statistic after statistics about how economic inequality, educational opportunity inequality, all sorts of inequalities break down along race and gender and ethnic lines. So, yes, it's true that the most overt expressions of racism are not allowed or really not socially permissible in our country. It's also true and undeniable that our entire society is stratified via race. And when I say that, what I mean is the best predictor of somebody's economic situation. It's not a 100% predictor, obviously, but out of all of the ways to predict somebody's economic station, the best way to predict it, unfortunately, is based on their race, ethnicity, and gender. And that means that the economic system, whether it's based on explicit racism or less explicit racism, is still racially segregated. And we in this country have just not been able to have a discussion about that at all. And I'm really hopeful that the Sotomayor nomination brings forward a conversation where we can actually talk about this. Now, unfortunately, the right, you know, conservative senators, the senator from Alabama, not exactly the most racially progressive state in the country, is the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee. And it's my bet that they are going to try to pull out all these quotes from Sotomayor talking about inequality, talking about her own experience, as a way to tap into that anger that you heard on that call. In fact, you know, you can already hear the sexism in some of the media coverage. Have you heard some of these stories that describe Sotomayor's inflection and disposition on the court as pushy. Now, would you ever hear the media describe a male judge as overly pushy?
Oh, no, never, David. And there was a caller earlier that made the comment that he hoped that they go down this road, and I do too, because the young people of this country have wised up to what the Republican, the new restructured Republican Party is, and it's white, angry, and old, and let them go that road. She has proven she has more judicial experience, just as the president said, than anyone that's on the bench right now.
Right. Right. I mean, I agree. Let them go down this road. Yeah. And I hope we as a society come out more mature on the other end. Hey, Dana, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, great show again, David. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Eddie in Littleton, you're on AM 760. Eddie. Yeah,
good morning, David.
Good morning.
Well, I had to chuckle. I guess I'm white. I'm relatively old. I don't think I'm angry, but I guess I am a conservative. And I am absolutely a believer that the president has a right to appoint his pick, and barring something truly unforeseen or irregular, the Senate approves him. And I think you'll find Republicans will vote for this person much more so than you ever saw on the left for Alito and Roberts, which were eminently qualified. And I just think, you know, you ask your callers when they call how they weighed in on that issue, and you will find the hypocrites that most of them are. You know, these people were qualified, and the Democrats took them on a witch hunt. Kennedy going back to the, I forget what organization it was that he himself belonged to. It was a joke. But like I say, if I was a Republican and a senator sitting on that panel, I would absolutely vote to confirm her.
Well, I mean, but there's one thing I'll just add, which is that some people would disagree with you that the only thing that's worthwhile looking at is whether a judge is quote unquote qualified. I mean,
the Democrats would argue that.
No, I would argue that.
The years was always to approve whoever the. I mean, you have to admit, prior to about 19, I guess it was the Borking, pretty much everybody got in there, barring some.
Yeah, but is that a good thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a good thing.
Well,
I mean, the thing is that I can.
Elections have consequences.
But I can be principled in saying this. I think if Republicans want to raise policy questions, what they bill as policy concerns for Sotomayor, then they have every right to.
Right. And I do believe that if you want to pass gay marriage laws, if you want to pass affirmative action quotas, you know, fine, pass them. And if the laws are valid, that the Supreme Court has no right interfering with their personal opinions. But that's the difference between a conservative and a liberal. You know, irregardless of the law, they think they have the right to be a judicial or a legislative branch.
Hold on a minute. You're moving in a lot of different directions here. So let's take apart both things that you're saying. The first thing you're saying is that we should only look at quote unquote qualifications, and that the president should basically have a rubber stamp. Now I consider myself arguably more conservative than you, in the sense that I believe in the separation of powers. I don't believe the Senate exists, and I don't believe the advise and consent clause of the Constitution exists to make the Senate a rubber stamp of any president. I think that a senator, Republican or a Democrat, has every right to object to a nominee to a court based on policy, not based on the length of somebody's resume. Right? I mean, if you got somebody appointed to a court, to a federal appeals bench, who's an insane, crazy person who's issuing crazy rulings and then gets nominated to the Supreme Court, just because they've been on the lower court for years and years doesn't mean that they're qualified.
Let's cut to the chase. Would you have voted to approve Alito and Roberts?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't on the Senate. I mean, I had serious concerns. I'm not a senator. I've never run for the Senate.
I had serious problems
with John Roberts as a nominee. I thought John Roberts in his life sided way too much with big corporations. Almost was a rubber stamp for corporations. And I had a problem with that. And you know what? But what I'm saying is that Republicans, if they want to object to Sotomayor on policy concerns, they have every right to do that. I don't think that makes them less or more within their rights. I can disagree with them. You and I can disagree over whether Sotomayor's position on an issue is the right position or the wrong position, but you certainly have a right to object. I don't think the Senate should be a rubber stamp to anyone. That's not why I elected my senator.
It's a forum to have a debate as far as what the Supreme Court should be. But I differ from you. I would vote to approve.
That doesn't make you any more credible, buddy. That doesn't make you any more credible just because you're saying I'm a conservative, but I'd vote for a liberal. That just means that you believe that the Senate should be a rubber stamp. I mean, we disagree on that.
And the Senate confirmed.
Yeah, No. See, there's where you're wrong. The Senate does not exist to confirm. The Senate exists to advise for advice and consent, and it can withhold that consent. It does not exist to confirm. It exists to judge. It exists as a check on executive power. And strangely, you call yourself a conservative, but you seem to disagree with that. I mean, I guess if the definition of a conservative is that you see the President of the United States as the king, then I guess you're more conservative than me. But I'd say that I'm more traditionally conservative than you in that I see a separation of powers, and I don't think the Senate exists to be a rubber stamp. Thanks for the call. 720, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, give us a call. Weigh in on the Sonia Sotomayor nomination. What do you want to see in a Supreme Court nominee? Feel free to tell us that. What are the big issues that you think a Supreme Court nominee impacts? Remember, 60% of the cases in front of the Supreme Court are on business issues, not on social issues. And do you think the Sotomayor nomination is going to prompt a serious debate about race, gender, and inequality in this country? We'll play that call for you that I got yesterday, a crazy call, after the break. You got to hear this if you haven't heard it. This call we got yesterday that really epitomizes the white backlash that I think that the Republicans are going to try to tap into in fighting this nomination. But first, let's get a traffic update.
A multi-vehicle accident southbound I-25 right around Thornton Parkway, blocking up the left lane, causing things to bottleneck, stacking things up towards 120th. We're also seeing more cars on the eastbound side of C-470, Kipling to Santa Fe, so it's pretty sluggish as you're trying to get across Highlands Ranch. Southbounders on 225, dragging a little bit after Parker Road up towards DTC. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If healthy plants and beautiful flowers are what you want, then Eco All-Purpose Potting Mix is what you need.
It's so nice to spend more time outside with barbecues, graduation parties, Memorial Day, and Freehoffs wants to make the time you spend on your patio or deck a lot more comfortable. May is Comfort Month at Freehoffs. They've got so many stylish and comfy sofas, settees, recliners, and dining sets to use outside. You'll have to sit in this patio furniture to believe it. And this month, take advantage of the more you buy, the more you save sale at Freehoffs. It's the perfect time to save some money ahead of the summer. Spelled Fruhoffs, pronounced Freehoffs at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder.
Or talk to a lender today. Call 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. If I know about something great, you know I have to share it. And that's how I feel about Rocky's Autos. Let me give you some reasons why you should shop at Rocky's Autos. Number one, they're locally owned and operated, and they care about the community that they do business in. They're big supporters of AM 760 and have been big supporters of my show. And I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late-model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great, the selection is great, and you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you go buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. But the minute you drive it off the lot, hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Autos, drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. Check them out on the internet at rockysautos.com. That's Rocky's Autos at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it. Just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Enjoy the summer on your outside deck. The Lumber Guy offers the lowest prices on everything you need to build a new deck or refurbish your existing one. The Lumber Guy has unbeatable prices on popular paved stone and retaining wall blocks. Make your home projects affordable with quality building materials from The Lumber Guy. 40 to 70% savings every day. The Lumber Guy is easy to find at East 50th in Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, right on 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If The Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
This year, more than 186,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. This Father's Day week, team up with Major League Baseball and the Prostate Cancer Foundation to keep Dad in the game. Call 1-800-798-CURE and pledge any amount to the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, that's 1-800-798-CURE.
Say goodbye to rush hour traffic with TomTom's unique IQ Routes technology. Unlike ordinary GPS devices, TomTom uses actual drive times to find you the fastest way to get anywhere, at any time. TomTom, go confidently.
Let's see if you can do rush withdrawal.
See, the drugster was out and about on his radio show a couple of days ago talking about how MSNBC could not go a full 30 days without invoking his name or having somebody make a comment about him, that we do it on the network for ratings and we just can't survive without him. Okay, I'll do it. If you can go 30 days without saying a racist or a sexist or a derogatory remark about the president.
Ed Schultz, mornings 10 to 1.
That's what you do. You don't know the difference.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
That's Nine Inch Nails. My voice still a little hoarse from the concert last night. My ears still ringing a little bit. I tell you what, seeing Nine Inch Nails down here in the tech center, it was bizarre. It's like watching Nine Inch Nails in an office park. It's like Trent Reznor in an office park don't go together really well. Or maybe they do. Maybe that's like the angst he's tapping into. Cubicle angst. 726, I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We're talking about the Sonia Sotomayor nomination. That's the A1 story again today. And the question of the hour is, do you think the nomination fight is going to tap into the politics of racial backlash? Sotomayor has made some pretty controversial and I think deliberately provocative statements about race and gender and privilege. She has basically said, I've been outspoken about the fact that she thinks that a judge's ethnicity, experience, and background impacts and should impact and does impact judicial rulings. I think she's absolutely right. But the question is whether that honesty is going to prompt the Republican Party to try to stir up the politics of racial backlash. And I, as promised, just want to play you an excerpt of this call again that we got yesterday, which I think perfectly epitomizes the kind of racial backlash that you see out there, the kind of racial backlash politics that denies that we live in a country still divided by race, gender, ethnicity. As I said before, you look at a Census Bureau statistics, it's undeniable that one of the biggest predictors of somebody's economic station is their race and gender. That we are still a country incredibly stratified along race and gender lines. And we are not allowed to talk about that because our dominant media frames say, no. This is a colorblind society. Well, it's not a colorblind society, but after years and years and years of the media telling us it is, whenever somebody raises the idea that it's not, you get calls like we got yesterday, like this. Jeff in Denver, you're on AM 760. Jeff.
Hey, I think you're a person that can't get a job doing anything other than stirring problems with the general population because you've got nothing to offer yourself. And any minority that isn't working right now, with every minority law that helps everybody out, is a person that doesn't want to apply themselves. You are an absolute disgrace to my country, America, which is the best country in the world.
If you don't like America, you can get out. If you don't like America, you can get out.
I love this country. I hate people like you. You're a pathetic, disgusting, pathetic loser to say that the rest of this country hasn't done what's right to treat people fair. Every white person is fair to minorities. It's losers like you that make things enable people that don't want to apply themselves to think they can run on a free ticket. Nobody out there is racist. Everybody's decent to everybody. You're an absolute loser that instills
stupidity in people by thinking they have something coming when they don't. Screw you and the American people. You're a disgrace to this country. You shouldn't be allowed in a field. You're a loser.
So that was the call yesterday. And, you know, you rarely get a call that so perfectly captures the politics of white male backlash like that. You heard the reference to laws that let minorities not work for a living and make lots of money. That's the basic assertion. Then you get the reference to the fact that there's no racism in this country. Obviously, both of those assertions are absurd, positively absurd. You look at health statistics, you look at income statistics, you look at poverty statistics, you look at education statistics, and every single statistic will show you that we are still a country that rewards most of the economic benefits to whites and to white males. This is a society that has woven privilege into its society, that is systemically rigged for white male privilege. Now, that doesn't mean that every white male is better off than every black female or every other race and gender. That's not what it means. What it means, though, is that systemically, the system makes it easier to get ahead as a white man. And I say that as a white man myself. And if you don't believe this, why don't you just take a look at the U.S. Senate? Just take a look at the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House photo gallery. It is dominated by white men. Now, in saying that, it doesn't mean that every white man needs to feel guilty about that or feel personally responsible about that. But it means that we as a society need to recognize that there are those inequalities there. And Sonia Sotomayor is somebody who I think does recognize that. Now, look, I say that as somebody who's not all that thrilled, at least on legal grounds, with her nomination. I think President Obama might have been able to find somebody more progressive, more outspokenly progressive. You know, we got business groups saying that they don't have any problem with her as a nominee, and that makes me nervous. I mean, the big business groups in Washington are incredibly corrupt, interested in preserving the economic status quo. And if they're saying that this nomination is a good thing, that gets me really worried. But in terms of race, gender, and ethnicity, and the issues that the court faces with those, and in terms of kicking off a discussion about these issues, I think the Sotomayor nomination is fantastic. And the question is whether you think it's going to kick off a discussion in this country about race and whether we're about to see the ugliest side of Republican backlash politics. 303-713-7600. Bob in Westminster. You're on AM 760. Bob.
How you doing? One thing real quick. Two, if you can ever get to Springfield, Illinois, where I'm from, they have that $14 million Lincoln Library. It really explains a lot about what Lincoln was up to. And then the other thing is, anyway, that'd be kind of interesting. And also kind of interesting, in the place where I grew up, Grandview Village, I was a guy that moved in, that's been flying his Confederate flag the last 2 or 3 years, which is kind of telling me that with this Mayor thing, I think you're going to see the revealing of what I consider a political civil war that's going to be going on in this country for some time.
So you think it's coming? You think it's coming?
Well, I think there's a lot of, I mean, I think, I've always believed for a very long time, and, you know, for many years, especially in recent years, we are in the midst of really a political civil war in a lot of ways. The Republican Party represents the old Confederacy, and they aren't going to give up without a vicious fight as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that the lesson that they've learned is that when they've been able to stir up racial and ethnic hatreds, at least during the 80s, they've been able to win. Now, I think the paradigm has changed. I mean, I think that with Latinos becoming a bigger segment of the voting population, and with many whites really becoming more keyed into the ugliness of racism, I think racial backlash politics may not work as well. But again, you know, you've got the Republican, the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee is a guy, Jeff Sessions, from Alabama, not exactly the most racially tolerant state in the country, and not a guy in particular himself who has a very progressive view and positions on race and gender issues. And they've already started to sound the keywords of racial backlash politics. Tom Tancredo on the TV yesterday implying that Sotomayor is a racist for having the nerve to say that that she thinks that she'll be able to bring different things to the table, good things, perhaps even better things, to the table as a judge because she is a woman of Latino descent. And so I think we're about to walk into this debate, into this buzzsaw, and the call you heard, I think, is exactly what the Republican Party wants to tap into. Bob, thanks for the call. 735, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. After the break, we'll take more of your calls. We'll get into further into this debate about whether the Sotomayor nomination, and here's a question, whether it was a deliberate attempt by President Obama to kick off a national discussion on race, gender, ethnicity, and white male privilege. President Obama has run away from, in my estimation, in some cases, run away from, tried to avoid overtly debating and discussing race. And I think he's, in some ways, been forced to do that by a media that says anybody who discusses race, especially a black politician, is somehow a radical. So I think he's been in some ways compelled to do that. He gave that one speech on race during the presidential campaign. This, to me, seems like the second thing that he's done to deliberately kick off a debate on race. I think it's a great thing. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update.
All lanes are open on the southbound side of I-25 near Thornton Parkway following an earlier accident. Could be some leftovers over off to the left shoulder catching some looks, so it's going to be sluggish from about 136. Speeds on the turnpike dipping a little bit for the eastbound route. Once you get past Federal, taking you towards I-25. Also seeing more cars. That's on both sides of the highway on 270 across Commerce City. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a relatively mild day with a high around 72 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Currently, we're at 51 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new Everyday Value Menu. Grab a junior breakfast burrito and a small order of tater tots. Just $1 each. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center's working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Old Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sun faces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery spring sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
Free. That's right. Get your debt solution review absolutely free. Just call 1-800-368-9359. That's 1-800-368-9359. And get the free debt cures review everyone in debt should have. To find out how you can get rid of debt now, just call 1-800-368-9359. That's 1-800-368-9359. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 1-800-368-9359. Again, 1-800-368-9359.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600 is the number. We're talking about the Sotomayor nomination. Do you think it's going to spur the resurgence of racial backlash politics? We heard that call from yesterday that perfectly epitomized what racial backlash politics is. Sotomayor has made given speeches that I think have been deliberately provocative and in a good way, saying that essentially our legal system, our court system, is too white male dominated, that the court would benefit from having people with much more diverse backgrounds on it. And that has spurred, I think, some Republicans to oppose her nomination on the grounds that she offends the fake notion that this is a colorblind, gender-equal society. And the question is whether, ultimately, this nomination fight is going to bring back the ugliest of white backlash politics. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Sherry in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. The gentleman that called earlier and said that he was a white conservative male, mm-hmm. older. Well, I'm a white female liberal independent. And he said that the Supreme Court should go by laws, you know, stand by their laws, and that's how they should vote. Well, if you look at the decisions for the last couple of votes from Scalia and Roberts, and I forgot someone else, they have gone with the Republican Party, not with the laws. And it is backed up. He goes and looks it up. And he said that there will be a lynch mentality. I suggest he start looking up his information and see what the Republicans have done. They don't seem to think. They seem to go along with the talking. I'm going to use talking heads because I don't like that. And they seem to not think on their own. It's very disheartening. But the thing that about her is, and you pointed that out, that she has made speeches, and she has mentioned that people with a different background would be better on the Supreme Court. She didn't say herself at the time. She meant others.
Right.
Which someone had quoted you yesterday by saying that you had said something else, and you cleared that up this morning, which is true. I really feel that the way the Democrats have been acting, they sit back and let Republicans go right over them. And I've heard this repeatedly that, well, you know, for 8 years they've acted this way and they haven't gotten used to it. And I was just thinking, if somebody kept hitting you in the face, you know, repeatedly for a period of time, would you just stand there and let them keep hitting you, or would you stand up and start fighting? And the Democrats don't seem to do that. I don't know why. I don't give the reasons. I think Republicans will go racist, and they will do it, and they'll do it on her intelligence, which is really, you know, I mean, they're saying things that are so, well, you know, she thinks. She has feelings.
Right, well, my favorite is that she's pushy.
Yeah, I mean.
Right, I mean, and I said, you know, would anybody, and it's not even conservatives, would it even be allowed in the media debate if somebody said that a white male judge was pushy?
Well, no, what about Trump?
It would be billed as if it was a white male, it would be billed as that the white male judge is tough.
Right, and he goes after what he thinks is right. You know, all the positive things. It's like saying, I don't like Martha Stewart, but they used to say before she ever went to jail, well, you know, she's pushy. She wants things her way. Of course she does. She's got her name splattered across all her products. Of course she wants it perfect. But if you take the complete opposite and you put Donald Trump there, you wouldn't say that. Oh, he wants his projects this way. He's very forceful with the people that work for him. You know, you draw a line and you go in either direction. And you can see there's an article on The Hill, and they talk about what the Republican Party has put out. And I'm very surprised. It's written quite well. And they weren't supposed to get it, only the Republicans, and they show what they're going to do. But they say very positive things about her, and I think they should, because she really is a conservative. And the other point I wanted to make is no one really knows what she's going to do. What I think years ago they voted on a conservative, and he became a very, very liberal judge, and that shocked everyone. I mean, really liberal. So everybody doesn't know yet, you know, what she's going to do. But it does scare me about, you know, the corporations, that they think she's fine. And that's what has to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and unfortunately, these debates over Supreme Court nominees, it's incredible. The court deals with 50, 60% of its cases have nothing to do with social issues. And the confirmation fights tend to revolve around only the social issues. And I think my guess is we will not get a discussion in the confirmation fight about her record or her views on those corporate governance and regulatory issues. We're going to get a lot of discussion about social issues. Now, I say that saying that I think that those social issues are certainly important, and I think that the silver lining of that problem is that we might actually get a debate about race, gender, and white male privilege, which I think is really much overdue in this country. But I also think, yes, you're right, that if there's anything that really does, on a policy level, worry me about the nomination, it's what Tom Hartman said in the 6 a.m. hour when we talked to him here, which is that she doesn't really have a record of challenging the economic corporate status quo. And that is a subset of issues that the Supreme Court is dealing more and more in. At least half of, if not the majority of its cases, deals with issues that relate to corporate power. And Sonia Sotomayor is not a progressive banner carrier on those issues. And I think the court has moved so far to the right on those issues that we need a counterbalance to the Scalias and the Robertses and the Alitos. And Sotomayor on those issues is not going to be that counterbalance. At least her record suggests that she won't be. Thanks for the call. 746, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Is the Sotomayor nomination kicking off the politics of racial backlash? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Mark in San Diego, you're on AM 760.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been listening to this program for some time now, especially after how San Diego had lost their radio voice. And so once I had found this station, I've been listening to it ever since. I really don't have a whole lot to say other than the fact that caller that you had yesterday, because I heard it when I was getting ready to go to work. I was really in a rush, but I did get a chuckle out of it because I was sitting up there saying to myself, this guy really is living in a different world, because if he thinks that this country is not racist, you know, then I can give you two incidents in just the last 2.5 weeks on my job where it was, you know, quite evident that, you know, number one, some guy was calling him on both occasions. They were calling themselves being funny, and they were being fun, trying to be funny by making me the butt of their joke. And I didn't take any pleasure in it. Didn't say anything to anybody about it until I got home and I called my boss up and I told him what had taken place. The good thing about it was that he took immediate action on it and reprimanded both, and they're both on the notice that, you know, if anything like that happens again, that they're gone. So in that regard, I was, you know, I was happy about it. I really don't want to see anybody lose their jobs for some nonsensical type of situation. And I even let my boss know, you know, look, I'm not out to see anybody to lose their job because, you know, jobs are hard to come by. But for going back to that caller, this guy really is delusional in his ideas, because this country is very much a racist state. It will continue to be a racist state, even though we do have a black president in the White House.
Well,
it does not matter.
And you know, the scary thing is that caller yesterday, and for folks who haven't heard it, we'll replay that call after the next break. The scary part about that call was that I think epitomizes, if not a majority of the way folks think, but certainly there are lots of folks out there who do believe that, who have been taught to believe that the people under persecution in this country are white males. And it's absolutely absurd. As I said, there's so much evidence that we are still a systemically racially divided country.
Absolutely.
And white male privilege is still systemically cemented into our country. And the only way we're going to really change that is if we can acknowledge that honestly. And by acknowledging that honestly, it doesn't mean that individual white people who may not be racist have to feel personally responsible. It just means that we have to acknowledge the reality that's so evident there. I mean, the media and the political system has made an entire frame that says that we are a colorblind, classless, meaning no class distinctions, no economic or gender stratification. They've made a whole frame about this. And, you know, you're right. The point that you said, you know, just because Barack Obama is president doesn't mean we're not a racist country. At all. In fact, in part of my research, I've been doing some research on The Cosby Show. One of the dangers is, of, for instance, a black president, and one of the dangers of, like, The Cosby Show being so popular, was that it made it seem like, in some ways, it absolved white people, made them feel like, hey, look, Bill Cosby's the number one rated TV show in the country. Barack Obama's president. That must mean we're not a systemically racist country. Well, those things are great, that Obama's president and Bill Cosby, a show about a black family, was the number one show in America in the 80s. That doesn't mean we're not a systemically racist country at all. Thanks for the call. 751, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around, we'll replay that call for you that we got yesterday. If you haven't heard it, it's going to knock your socks off. First, let's get a traffic update.
Northbound I-25 starting to load up as you're coming out of the Castle Rock area. Things are loosening up just a little. Southbound I-25 near Thornton Parkway, that's a scene of an earlier crash. We do have a surface street wreck. This one involving two cars occurred Parker and Mississippi. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't miss the final Tower One closeout at the Pinnacle at City Park South. Best deal ever on two bedrooms from just $399.99. Call 303-333-1200 or visit the Pinnacle at 17th and Fillmore.
Randy Rhodes.
You know, they're lying. They're saying that it's people from my side of the aisle that want Dick Cheney to shut up. No, it's the Republicans.
If you really love quality Swiss timepieces, then you must go to Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, Swiss Army, and many more. But it isn't just the brands. It's the number of timepieces within each brand that truly distinguishes Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SolarRips.com.
I'm every day at this time for a market update. It's www.presidentialbrokerage.com. There's been a lot in the news, a lot of economic news lately, a lot of economic news coming out of the markets. Mike, what do you got for us today?
Well, I'll tell you, you're right. There's just a ton of stuff going on. The bond holders did not, they rejected the offer to convert their bond shares into equity shares for General Motors, which really I think is a big issue for General Motors. It puts them one step closer, I think, David, to having to file for bankruptcy, which has some real far-reaching implications. I did hear some positive spins on it this morning that the company, you know, it's not your typical bankruptcy where it's just going to vaporize and never to be seen again. They were comparing it more to what happened with Chrysler some time ago where they went into bankruptcy and emerged successfully from bankruptcy and with hopefully as little damage as can occur. But that certainly is wearing thin on people's nerves right now, and also some of the economic news has been improving a little bit. So, you know, a mixed bag. With that, the market is real mixed this morning after a big up day yesterday. The Dow is down 4 right now, but it looks like it's headed for positive territory, David. The NASDAQ, which has been negative all morning, we're getting, we'll call it our Sirota bounce. The NASDAQ's up 5.5 now. The S&P's up a fraction. The Russell's down a fraction. So it looks like we're trying to head toward positive territory, but it looks like we're going to flop around a bit. If you'd like a copy of our free financial handbook, it's a 32-page book we've put together, David. It's complimentary, and it really helps you understand how to take IRA distributions, how to avoid a lot of common mistakes. Too much to go into right now, but if you want your free copy, I've got about 50 of them. First 50 callers, you get it, and then I'm out.
There you go. 303-749-2770, 303-749-2770. Give Presidential Brokerage a call. I heard on the morning drive that economists are saying that the recession may be over by the end of the year. But as Mike has always said, do not just sit there and hold your money and hope for the best. You got to get an investment strategy going. 303-749-2770, Presidential Brokerage. Talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
Thanks, David.
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business. All for a buck an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
Old Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery Spring Sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
757, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mark, you're on the cell. You're the last call before the news. You got about 20, 30 seconds. Go for it, Mark.
I want to say that it's brilliant of President Obama to announce this now because it takes the pressure off that liar, Nancy Pelosi. Second thing is, if you look at Sotomayor's decisions in, for instance, I think it's the Richardson case out of Connecticut, it shows she's a racist. Even a dissenting Hispanic judge on that decision personally called her out, saying you don't know what you're talking about, by basically saying it doesn't matter if you're white, Hispanic, whatever.
Well, you heard it there. That's the argument that's going to be floated against Sotomayor. We'll get into it after the national news.
I should be twittering.
Like, I don't talk enough.
Randy Rhodes.
It's not going to last. Twitter.
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office.
Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business. All for $1 an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
1-866-332-1941. Remember,
understand,
honor,
and give from the heart.
PearlHarborMemorial.com. Thank you.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. Chrysler got there first. GM could be the next big car company to wind up in bankruptcy. General Motors says few GM bondholders have accepted a deal to swap debt for company stock. Without that concession, a Chapter 11 filing by next Tuesday is almost a sure bet. Industry analyst John McElroy.
The bondholders say, hey, look, we're getting wiped out here. We're taking it on the chin a lot more than the union is.
The United Auto Workers Union has agreed to pay and benefit givebacks. Grady Pointer with and other rank-and-file UAW members will be voting on that deal tomorrow.
We want to do our part to keep General Motors going. As a UAW union member, we want to do our share.
I'm Steve Kathan. Chrysler is back in bankruptcy court today, asking a judge for permission to sell most of its assets to a group led by Fiat, the Italian automaker. Without it, attorneys for Chrysler suggest the company would have to be sold off piece by piece. There have been more than 100 objections and challenges filed during the bankruptcy process by dealers and bondholders and others, but some reports indicate Chrysler could be out of bankruptcy sooner rather than later.
The top Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee says he sees serious problems with the Supreme Court nomination of federal appeals judge Sonia Sotomayor, but Alabama's Jeff Sessions doesn't expect a GOP filibuster. CBS's Peter Mayer tells us President Obama is pressing his case for quick confirmation.
At a fundraiser for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Mr. Obama said he is inspired by Judge Sotomayor.
Nobody can say she's not qualified to be on the Supreme Court.
Mr. Obama is expected to continue his push for Judge Sotomayor's confirmation when he appears at a big Democratic fundraiser tonight in Los Angeles.
An FBI wiretap could spell trouble for Democratic Senator Roland Burris of Illinois. The transcript indicates that despite his earlier denials, Burris did agree to make a contribution to the campaign of indicted former Governor Rod Blagojevich. Burris' attorney, Timothy Wright, insists his client never made any deal in return for his appointment to President Obama's old Senate seat.
This conversation was more about a role that the Senator had traditionally played, which was he had raised funds for Blagojevich without any appointment.
On the CBS Health Watch, the American Cancer Society says the number of Americans who get the disease has gone down sharply over the past two decades.
A man's risk of dying from cancer has decreased by almost 19%. A woman's risk of dying from cancer has decreased by about 12%.
The Cancer Society's Dr. Otis Brawley credits stop smoking programs, better screening for colon cancer, and improved treatments for leukemia. OPEC oil producers would like to see crude oil rise to between $75 and $80 a barrel. But on the eve of a meeting in Vienna, the Saudi oil minister says they won't cut production to get there. Oil's trading at $63 a barrel. And just out a report showing a 3% gain in existing home sales in April. The Dow's up 3 points. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
Sir, we tires need to call your attention to a breach of protocol.
Oh, boy. What is it now?
You are no doubt familiar with the low-price tire guarantee at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships.
Yep, they'll beat any competitor's price on the name-brand tires, they say.
Yes, that's the one. But now they are extending this offer to drivers of any vehicle, not just Ford.
Okay, so what's the problem?
That is my problem.
Look, just because someone drives a different kind of car doesn't mean he or she should have to settle for no-name tires or high prices.
An important policy change like this should have been discussed with us.
So Ford should have talked with you tires first.
We will not budge. Well, actually, we will when you put us into drive.
Or reverse.
Or reverse.
Right, either one.
The low price tire guarantee at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Available on every brand of tires we sell. Now available for any vehicle you drive. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see your participating dealership for details through 12-3109.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Scrutiny of Supreme Court Justice nominee Sonia Sotomayor has begun. Former Denver Mayor and Cabinet Secretary Federico Pena says Sotomayor would make a terrific justice. Dr. Luis Torres is Deputy Provost at Metro State College.
And in fact, she would be the first female ethnic minority, so I think that's significant. In many ways.
Democrats like Senator Mark Udall praise Sotomayor, while Republican Colorado Congressman Doug Lamborn calls many of her recent decisions too liberal for the court. A Fortune 500 company is moving to Denver. DaVita operates kidney dialysis centers across the country. DaVita is moving to Denver from Southern California. Nuggets fans making plans to get together to watch tonight's Game 5 from Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Probably either Old Chicago's, where I can walk, or else I'll meet some friends up at Bar Louise.
Sports bars, especially loving fans like her during Denver's run in the playoffs as they add hungry crowds to normally slower weeknights. Other sports, the Rockies lose to the Dodgers 7-1. They'll finish up their series this afternoon at Coors Field. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale, now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Things are really loading up eastbound C-470, Kipling to Santa Fe. We're also seeing a significant amount of traffic on the westbound side of 36. If you are heading to Boulder, factor on hitting some delays once you get past Sheridan, taking you towards Wadsworth. Brakes loose for just a little bit, then once you get towards Flatirons, you'll hit your brakes again. Westbound 76, also a bit crowded. This from about Highway 85 as you're making your way up towards I-25. Surface Street crash in the works, Parker and Mississippi. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high of around 71, 72 degrees. Right now, it's mostly sunny, a little bit hazy along the foothills, foggy outside the metro, like along I-25, right around that Meade exit, and it's 53 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tasty tomatoes, perfect peppers, and awesome onions in your garden? No problem. Just use Eco Compost this year and make your own miracles. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents your odometer.
22,105.2.
Thanks, odometer.
22,105.3.
So you're telling me I should go
to your Ford dealer for scheduled maintenance, 0.4.
I will, thank you.
22,000, you're welcome, 5.5.
Yeah. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package. Oil change, tire rotation, and multi-point inspection, $29.95 or less after mail-in rebate. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 6/30/09.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay
Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're continuing our discussion about Sonia Sotomayor's nomination to the Supreme Court. You're going to be hearing a lot of debate and discussion about this over the next coming weeks. And on the line with us, we have Vanessa Cardenas from the Center for American Progress, and she has worked at the National Immigration Forum. She has the Center for American Progress is helping push, I think, this nomination, and we're checking in with them and with Vanessa just to see what it's like, you know, inside the Beltway, what they expect the debate to really be on. I just read that Senator Jeff Sessions, the Republican, ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee from Alabama, has said that he has problems with the nomination, but does not expect a Senate filibuster. So, Vanessa, what is the thinking on how easy or difficult this this nomination will be to get confirmed?
Hi, David. Well, thanks for having me on. And
I think that this is going to be an easy nomination in the sense that she is somebody that's very well qualified, and she has a lot of experience at different levels of our judicial system. So I think it'd be really hard for conservatives to actually stall her nomination. And also given the politics of it, given how Republicans especially have kind of pretty much dismissed a lot of progressive voters and Latino voters and African-American voters, I think it's going to be really hard for them to challenge her nomination. And I in a way, agree with Sessions, it's going to be really hard to stall her nomination in the Senate.
Do you think that they will try to use this nomination fight for other objectives in the sense that are they going to try to use this nomination? All right, well, you know, they're going to think, well, look, we can't stop this nomination, but we can use it to make certain political points, raise certain issues. We were talking earlier on this show about the politics of white backlash. And, you know, it's Sotomayor has made some pretty provocative comments about the role of race, gender, ethnicity in the legal system, in government in general. And I think they've been deliberately provocative. And for my part, I think that that's good. We need people out there who provoke a discussion and debate. But I wonder if the Republicans, even in conceding that they may not be able to stop her nomination, that there will still be a political strategy for them. Do you think there will be, and what do you think it will be?
I don't think so. I think that America is changing. Our country is changing. Our country is becoming more diverse, and we're becoming more accepting of one another. And I think the Obama presidency exemplifies that. And I think the idea that you can isolate the groups, that you can have this, you know, war of cultures within the United States is actually very old and very outdated. And I think that if Republicans use it that way, they're going to continue to alienate themselves if they do that. I actually think that this nomination also confirms President Obama's outlook of having, you know, an administration that reflects America and that kind of builds bridges among the groups instead of building walls. And I think, you know, if the Republicans will go with such a strategy of saying that this, you know, this is going to kind of, you know, push down on white males or something like that, it's actually going to not help them at all in the long run.
And it's interesting. I mean, from what I've heard so far, what language you've heard from the right so far has been using the language of equality to bash Sotomayor. We had Tom Tancredo was on MSNBC yesterday, saying that Sotomayor's has made racist comments, and I assume that he's referring to the comment where she said she would hope that a Latina female would come to better conclusions than all things considered as a white male. Mm-hmm. So I guess the fear is that they will try to stake their opposition to her in a way that presents they themselves as the kind of pro-equality party. I mean, it's absurd, mm-hmm. but is that the direction they're going in?
I think that is the direction some of them are going. I think that definitely maybe Sotomayor's statements were kind of loose. However, I think that in the context that she was speaking of, in the sense, you know, in terms of how a minority sees discrimination, which is an issue that she's probably going to have to deal with in terms of the cases that come to the Supreme Court, I think having that experience, having, you know, lived in a minority community, being a minority definitely gives you a different perspective than someone who's not. So I think while her words were loose, her point is right. I do agree that, you know, Tancredo and others are going to try to use that, but I think, as I said before, I think it's important to recognize that America is changing and that we are becoming more accepting of one another, and I think everybody accepts that there has been racism in our country, there continues to be racism in our country, and that we need to strive to be a better society when everybody is given a fair chance, and in this case, a fair nomination. So I don't think we should just focus on those statements alone, but see her career and her whole, you know, her whole history to really pass judgment on her.
We're talking to the Center for American Progress, Vanessa Cardenas, they are tracking this nomination. What do you think this nomination, what legal ramifications, if any, do you think it will have in terms of the court? I mean, how does it change, if at all, the court?
I don't think it changes the court at all. I mean, she is replacing somebody who's definitely at the center, and those who know her have expressed the fact that she's somebody that rules from the center. And so it's not going to change the Supreme Court as it is right now in terms of its ideology. I mean, she's definitely going to side with the liberal side, but she's definitely not an extreme liberal. She's definitely somebody who comes from the center. So, you know, of course, there's a lot of talk right now, especially we know with Limbaugh and other people that are trying to paint her as this very extreme person, but that's not really who she is. I think that we ought to wait and see how she comes out in terms of the hearings that are going to happen in the Senate and get to know her, but really look at her record versus at how some pundits are trying to paint her.
Then, if she's not going to change the voting of the court, what significance does this nomination have beyond the fact, the obvious significance of that this is the first Latina, the first Hispanic to be nominated to the court and eventually hopefully on the court? What is the significance of the nomination if it's not going to, other than that, which is obviously, as I said, extremely significant, is there any other significance, any other ramifications of this nomination?
In terms of, you know, the real world and how the Supreme Court is, you know, it's made up of, like I said before, there's really no change. She is in line with a judge. Souter, you know, she's somebody from the center left, so she is definitely going to be consistent with those views. So there's really not going to be an extreme change in the Supreme Court. So I think, like I said earlier, it's, you know, she's somebody that has solid qualifications. I think the difference is that she's somebody that comes from a different background than all of the judges currently. She's somebody that has, besides being Hispanic, she's somebody that really has real world experience, and I think that definitely will make our Supreme Court better, because it's going to bring a different point of view to the Supreme Court, and it's going to help our Supreme Court have a more real world view of the issues that they're going to be dealing with.
Vanessa Cardenas of the Center for American Progress, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, David.
That was Vanessa Cardenas of the Center for American Progress. They are tracking this nomination of Sonia Sotomayor. I am David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around. After the next break, we are going to replay that call that we got yesterday from a very enraged caller. You got to listen to this. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And the question of the hour is whether the Sotomayor nomination is going to resurrect the politics of racial backlash. Sotomayor has made some very provocative comments about the need for the court and the judicial system as a whole to be more diverse. She has said that she is a better jurist because she is a Latina. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. Are you one of those folks who thinks that judges' backgrounds don't impact or shouldn't impact how they look at the law? Or are you more of a realist like me who thinks that everybody's background impacts how they look at the entire world? As I said yesterday, if you think John Roberts' rich, upper-class, white, male perspective doesn't impact his judicial decisions, then I got some real estate to sell you. But feel free to disagree. 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600 is the nomination of Sonia Sotomayor, going to resurrect the Republican Party of racial backlash. 303-713-7600. It's going up to 74 degrees today on the Front Range. Let's get a traffic update.
It's a busy drive as you're making your way around Denver, but no highway accidents to really get in your way. Eastbound 6th Avenue, still busy from Federal up to I-25. Also seeing a lot of cars on the northbound side of 225. This is after you're making that Parker curve up towards Mississippi. Southbound past Parker Road all the way up towards DTC is where you're going to find speeds dipping into the teens and 20s in spots. Westbound 36, a little bit slow. Just after Sheridan up towards Wadsworth. Surface street accidents, Parker and Mississippi, as well as 10th and Vrain. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tired of happy hour specials that really aren't so special? Try the new Grand Happy Hour at Grand Lux Cafe.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, Accelerated Piano Method, at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America, and it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage Program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 RL Polk data.
Everything you need, just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
Am I ever afraid to express my opinions?
Well, I live in a free country.
No.
That's why.
I'm probably a little hesitant sometimes, depending on who I'm with.
I've seen a lot of people in general discuss, you know, tightening their belts.
Frivolities.
Coffee. I have had to cut back on coffee because of the recession.
Which sucks. I go through caffeine withdrawals, but
I'm just thankful to have a job.
It's harder to get a job.
Does it save me like $4 a day?
I'm kind of worried.
I'd like to think that the economy is getting better.
AM 760.
I feel like this is a great time for Americans to kind of hunker down and get back to basics.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around in the 9 a.m. hour. Very excited about this. We are having on Lawrence Joseph, the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. It's about the prevalence of solar flares. I know it sounds crazy, but he is a scientist. He was featured in Wired magazine. He's got a new book coming out about potentially apocalyptic conditions in 2012 and what we can do to actually prevent it. It's actually pretty simple. The article I read about him in just really blew my mind. And I think it's going to blow your mind. So stick around for that in the 9 a.m. hour. In this hour, we'll finish out our discussion of Sonia Sotomayor. Whether you think her nomination is going to resurrect the politics of racial and ethnic backlash. Listen to this call we got yesterday in discussing the initial discussion of Sotomayor's nomination. This call epitomizes to me really what I mean by the politics of white racial backlash. Jeff in Denver, you're on AM 760. Jeff.
Hey, I think you're a person that can't get a job doing anything other than stirring problems with the general population because you got nothing to offer yourself. And any minority that isn't working right now, with every minority law that helps everybody out, is a person that doesn't want to apply themselves. You are an absolute disgrace to my country, America, which is the best country in the world.
If you don't like America, you can get out. If you don't like America, you can get out.
I love this country. I hate people like you. You're a pathetic, disgusting, pathetic loser to say that the rest of this country hasn't done what's right to treat people fair. Every white person is fair to minorities. It's losers like you that make things enable of people that don't want to apply themselves to think they can run on a free ticket. Nobody out there is racist. Everybody's decent to everybody. You're an absolute loser that instills stupidity in people by thinking they have something coming when they don't. Screw you on the American people. You're a disgrace to this country. You shouldn't be allowed on the field. You're a loser.
So that was the call we got yesterday. And that's what I mean by the politics of racial backlash. The politics of saying that we live in a colorblind society. Anybody who says otherwise is somehow racist. Sotomayor has made some controversial statements about inequality, about basically saying that her ethnicity, her life story, her gender will help her make better decisions, better judgments on the court. And in discussing that, we got that call yesterday, and we've seen this come out a little bit more over the ensuing hours. Tom Tancredo goes on television, says that Sotomayor is a racist for bringing up issues of inequality in this country. Why can't we acknowledge that we still live in a systemically racist country? It's not necessarily an overtly racist country. By that I mean there's certainly not as much overt racism as there was in the past. Racism has become less socially acceptable. But why can't we as a country acknowledge that we are still largely stratified and divided on racial lines, on ethnic lines, on gender lines? I mean, you look at the Census Bureau data. Poverty statistics, education statistics, income statistics, all of them stratified on racial and ethnic lines. Are we still so immature that we have to pretend that our system is quote-unquote colorblind? And is Sotomayor really controversial for saying otherwise? 303-713-7600. Curtis on the cell. You're on AM760. Curtis.
Yeah, hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
All right. Well, I agree with your last statement. I agree with it. There is still a racial divide. I don't disagree with that. I don't think that it's fair to say that all whites are racist or anything like that, especially these days. I think we've made tremendous progress, and I think that's what the caller was alluding to. But I do agree with the conservative perspective that the comments that Sotomayor made were definitely discriminatory. And all you have to do, the test to apply to that, the litmus test to apply to that is, if a white candidate who had been nominated by, let's say, a conservative, Bush or whoever, had made a similar comment saying, I believe that as a white male, I would make better judgments than, let's say, a Hispanic female, everybody would rightfully, correctly, be up in arms saying, that is the most racist thing I've ever heard in my life. Your position in the Supreme Court is to interpret the Constitution and according to the intent of the law, to apply it equally to all people, not based upon race or gender, and to try and say, I'm going to apply a litmus test that I'm going to make it fairer, I'm going to make my interpretations fairer to an ethnic group or a gender group, because that's my background, I think, is discriminatory.
Well, I think that construction of that sentence was she used stereotypes.
Absolutely.
She used stereotypes, but I don't think you can go as far as saying that it is racist. I think she used stereotypes because she said, I would like to believe, I would hope that a Latina woman, I don't have the quote right up in front of me, but basically saying I would hope a Latina woman more often than not would make better judgments than a white male.
Where would you draw? Let's make sure we are in agreement here on that. If it's potentially discriminatory, or let me make sure I don't put words in your mouth. You said that it wasn't racist, but it's potentially discriminatory.
Because the answer is because you can't really be a racist if you're a part of a. I don't think you can be a racist if you're part of an oppressed class, and by that I mean you can certainly be prejudiced. And you can certainly be, but racist, that term actually refers to, and I'm not trying to play semantics here, but that term actually refers to the majority oppressing. It applies to power. And in this country, the people who have power in this country are largely white people.
So we agree that racism then implies that you have power over someone else, and I disagree on the statement that because she's Hispanic, she therefore cannot be racist.
She can be prejudiced. I don't think she can be racist.
If you have power over another ethnic group, and you're
Latinos do not have power over white people in the United States. Are you living in the United States?
I take that as a slightly insulting comment. You know, I'm fluent in Spanish. I'm married to a Hispanic.
Right. So how can you say that people who are Latinos in this country have power as a group over white people in this country? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
All right, slow down. All right, let's not get torqued up here. Let's try and have a civil conversation.
Okay.
If we make a general sweeping statement, then I would say that in general, whites still have a greater power than Hispanics. But if a Hispanic is in a position of power over other ethnic groups, let's say it's an Hispanic officer who hates blacks and abuses that power against the blacks, is that racism? Of course it is.
As our
society evolves, and I think we all need to keep this in mind, as our society evolves, and we have more and more minorities who are coming up and moving into positions of power, we have to guard against racism no matter what direction it is. I have seen Hispanics and I have seen whites who have been discriminated against by people of other ethnicities who have an agenda to try and, in their minds, they're trying to balance the power. But what they end up doing is abusing their power against another ethnic group. That could be Hispanics, and like I said, being completely fluent in Spanish, being married to a Hispanic, being deeply involved. I used to be a very, very liberal person, and I worked with Mecha, and I worked with CISPAS, and, you know, the Committee in Solidarity with people of El Salvador on a number of their issues. I was even offered to get a doctorate in Chicano studies at the University of Colorado. And I saw examples where there were people who were in power who had what they thought was a morally acceptable role to try and balance that power, but they ended up abusing that power.
If you really want to play out your theory, if the country is so and has been so utterly, I mean, it certainly it's a verifiable truth that the country has been one of the most racist countries in the history of the world for the first 150 years of its existence with slavery. That's undebatable.
Well, it goes beyond slavery.
So we have an incredible, incredibly racist history. We can agree to that. Everybody can agree to that.
No one denies that.
Right, okay. And so what I'm saying is, if you want to just play out what you're saying, what is the problem with somebody in a position like Sotomayor saying, hey, you know, part of what I'm here to do is to try to balance out a system that is still wildly unequal. What is the problem with that?
Okay. All right. That's a very fair question. And I think we need to analyze it appears by all census records, you know, by the trends, that Hispanics are on their way to becoming a majority in this country. We have got to guard.
I don't think that's true. No, what you're saying is that whites may not be the majority, but that there's going to be a plurality. Latinos are not going to be the majority.
Well, there already is. Whites are not the majority right now. If you combine all the other ethnicities, I don't believe whites are more than 50% now. but they're a...
We are on the track to become a majority-minority country. That is true.
That's fine. Okay, and we agree on that. And I'm glad that we're able to find agreement here as we go along, okay? So when the Hispanic group will eventually become the largest of all the groups, they will wield a greater amount of power.
Well, that's... Now, hold on a minute. That's a huge jump. Now, I'll throw...
Why not?
Well, look, all you got to do is look at South Africa. I mean, South Africa had a minority of whites that had almost all of the power in South Africa. I'm not saying we're becoming South Africa, but what I'm saying is just because you may have a popular majority does not mean you have all of, most of, or even the majority of the power in a country. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if it, if
the South Africa again. The apartheid was tumbled. All right, they're very wise.
Yeah, after like many years, I'm only making the point.
You made a beautiful point.
No.
Let's work that out.
No. I only cited South Africa as just an example of a situation that for many years was where the majority, just because a population was the majority, didn't mean it had all of the power.
And that's exactly the same situation as America 50 years ago, all right? But both countries have changed. But if you know anything about the politics of South Africa now, what you begin to see is that the black majority in South Africa is now wielding an almost tyrannical power over the whites. Look at the, Mugabe's country. What's that, Ethiopia? No.
The Congo?
No. Mugabe, Robert Mugabe. It was another one of those countries where the minority white held massive control, and they took over, and then they...
Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe, thank you very much. And then when the blacks took over, especially Robert Mugabe, they imposed an almost, a dictatorial oppression over the minority. We have to guard against...
We do have to guard against that, but hang on. And I got to get to some other calls. But we do have to guard against that, but let me respectfully suggest that we are not... near a situation where minorities are wielding too much power over whites, that we have erred so far on the side of the white majority wielding way too much power over minorities, both overtly and systemically. Because, as I agree, we're not a country that's primarily overtly racist anymore. We have a systemic racism, much more latent racism. But all I'm saying is that yes, we have to guard and protect the rights of the minorities. Whether the minority ends up being a white minority in this country, if that actually happens, or minorities of who are minorities now. My point is that we're not nearing a situation where Latinos or black people are wielding way too much power over white people. That's not where we're near. We're not even close to that. We've erred so far on the side of white racism that I don't really see why it's controversial for somebody in Sotomayor's position to say, hey, part of what I'm here to do is to restore some equality. Thanks for the call. 836, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Will the Sotomayor nomination dredge up the politics of white racial backlash? You heard that call we got yesterday. It was pretty crazy. We'll play it for you once more in the last segment of this debate that we are hashing it out here. We'll play it after the break, so stick around for that. If you haven't heard it, it's going to knock your socks off. 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Southbound 225, still a crowded ride as you make that Parker curve up towards I-25. Southbounders on I-25, however, you're starting to see some relief as you're coming in from Thornton and North Glen. Speeds are going to be running in the 40s and 50s as you're coming in from about 120th up towards 84th. Surface Street crash in the cleanup stage is 10th and Vrain. They also move that one completely out of the way, Parker and Mississippi. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
New casino players eat for free at Fortune Valley Hotel and Casino in Central City. Enjoy an all-you-can-eat buffet or delicious deli meal free as a new casino player. Hungry yet? Take I-70 to exit 243, Hidden Valley to Fortune Valley. Some restrictions apply.
Wednesday on the Ed Schultz Show.
It's so nice to spend more time outside with barbecues, graduation parties, Memorial Day, and Freehoffs wants to make the time you spend on your patio or deck a lot more comfortable. May is comfort month at Freehoffs. They've got so many stylish and comfy sofas, settees, recliners, and dining sets to use outside. You'll have to sit in this patio furniture to believe it. And this month, take advantage of the more you buy, the more you save sale at Freehoffs. It's the perfect time to save some money ahead of the summer. Spelled Freehoffs, pronounced Freehoffs at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor. Brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, getting dressed.
When it comes to identity theft protection, just getting a free credit report is like putting on your underwear and heading out the front door. If you don't feel incredibly vulnerable, you should. But with Identity Guard, you get an entire wardrobe full of online identity theft tools and technologies and expert telephone support that can answer any questions you may have about your underwear. I mean, credit report. All this from the company that's already protected over 20 million people from identity theft. My, it's a lot of happy customers. Anyway, get Identity Guard today and put some clothes on, people.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online, using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then, I passed the ball to
Taz in San Jose, because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I passed the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now, my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line. Created by our national development team.
Spread across three time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx. The only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code TIME to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code? TIME. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
For about a month. And if Jay comes back, I'll be out for, well, I'll be out. But I'm out for at least a month going over to China for a trip. That's where I'll be if you don't hear me. 303-713-7600, the Sotomayor nomination. Are we going to see the resurrection of the politics of racial backlash? Sotomayor has made provocative comments saying that her ethnicity, her gender, her heritage impacts the way she makes rulings on when she was in a federal court. And it seems like the right is going to use this to call her a racist. Well, Tom Tancredo was on TV yesterday calling her a racist. And when we were having this initial discussion yesterday, here was a call we got that I think perfectly encapsulates what I mean by the politics of white racial backlash. Jeff in Denver, you're on AM 760. Jeff.
Hey, I think you're a person that can't get a job doing anything other than stirring problems with the general population because you've got nothing to offer yourself. And any minority that isn't working right now, with every minority law that helps everybody out, is a person that doesn't want to apply themselves. You are an absolute disgrace to my country, America, which is the best country in the world.
If you don't like America, you can get out. If you don't like America, you can get out.
I love this country. I hate people like you. You're a pathetic, disgusting, pathetic loser to say that the rest of this country hasn't done what's right to treat people fair. Every white person is fair to minorities. It's losers like you that make things enable people that don't want to apply themselves to think they can run on a free ticket. Nobody out there is racist. Everybody's decent to everybody. You're an absolute loser that instills stupidity in people by thinking they have something coming when they don't. Screw you on the American people. You're a disgrace to this country. You shouldn't be allowed on a field. You're a loser.
So that was the call yesterday, and that's what I mean by white racial backlash. Is this going to resurrect those politics? Is the Republican Party going to try to resurrect those politics using this confirmation fight as the vehicle? 303-713-7600. Bill in Longmont, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David.
Hi.
First of all, I work with demographics, and the statistics are, the projections are, we are, the whites are a majority until 2042 is what the current curve shows, and they will lose our majority status but still be a plurality.
Right.
It'll still be under, and majority is over.
Over 50%. We'll still be the biggest minority.
Yeah, majority is over 50%. Plurality is under 50%, but the largest section. Yeah. So anyway, you were asking originally about the racial backlash from Sotomayor, and I've been hearing it already. Here's a couple examples I heard just yesterday. Mike Huckabee issued a statement about her, and I assume this statement went through his staff, but it got on through to the media, and he called her not Sonia Sotomayor, but Maria Sotomayor. I guess he was confusing her with the Puerto Rican girl from West Side Story.
Do not. Yeah, you know, and as I said, you know, it's a lot of this stuff is pretty subtle. You know, you saw, I saw some people saying, well, the criticism of her is that she's pushy. And I said, you know, would a male jurist ever be criticized as being pushy? Right? They'd be vaunted for being tough and asking, you know, hard nosed questions.
Another one I heard overnight on a talk station, a caller called up and said, "I wonder if her parents came here legally from Puerto Rico," and. The talk host, not even correcting the guy to let him know that Puerto Rico is a United States territory, said, "Well, the media certainly won't be reporting on that, will they?"
Yeah, it's really, you got to really be media literate now to hear all this stuff and really keep your ears out for it, because it's you know, it's sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's not so subtle. And remember, you know, Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, not exactly the most progressive guy in the world, not the most racially progressive state in the world, he'll be leading the opposition to Sotomayor's nomination. So I have every expectation that the right is going to try to dredge up this ugly politics. Now, of course, the double-edged sword for them is that they need Latino voters. I mean, you know, Latino voters may not be a majority in this country, but they're a substantial minority. And I think if they are not careful, they will continue to create this image of themselves as a male, white, southern, angry, racist party. Now, interestingly, they are trying to couch their opposition or their initial opposition to Sotomayor in the argot, in the language of equality. You know, saying that Sotomayor is she's the, you know, in raising these issues, she's offending the sensibility that this is a country of colorblind laws, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's this entire fallacy that the country is colorblind and that we are already an equal country. This fallacy is just so powerful, and anybody who challenges it is automatically called some kind of rabble-rouser, some kind of radical, or some kind of racist. And I don't see how simply acknowledging that this country has problems with equality somehow means that somebody's radical. It's just a reflection of reality. Bill, thanks for the call. 847, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Will the Sotomayor nomination resurrect the politics of racial backlash? Dave on the cell, you're on AM 760. Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I listened to that tape that you played about yesterday, that caller that came across as very racist. And all I have to say to that guy is, go live on an Indian reservation in New Mexico and see how the Indian people, who were the native people of this country, live because of white racism. And then he'll find out if really white people are so kind to the minorities.
You know, and you heard him say, you heard the caller yesterday say, you know, minorities have all these minority laws, quote unquote. And, you know, he's talking about affirmative action and, you know, and the, some scholarship programs. And, you know, it's just a testament to how well conservatives have done to demagogue this issue, that there really is a pervasive feeling out there among some people that white men are persecuted.
You know, and I'm a Hispanic myself. I've got two bachelor's degree and a master's degree. And I tell you, it was so hard for me to find any kind of financial aid in the 70s and 80s and the 90s. I mean, I got my first degree in 1974. In the late 70s, the 80s, and 90s, I couldn't find any financial aid for minorities. I could not find one. When I was growing up in Denver, my father did not allow us to speak Spanish in the home, because he didn't want us to have a Mexican accent, even though his parents are from Mexico. We could not speak Spanish at home. He didn't want us to have a Mexican accent because he did not want us to be discriminated against. And I have, in living in Denver today, it's changed a lot. But there is a level of racism that is so subtle. If you are not a minority, you really don't feel it. You really don't know it. You really don't see it.
Yeah, and the thing is that racism has gone underground, is not the right word. It's just become, as you said, so much more subtle, and it's so much more systemic. I mean, that's the issue. That's the issue I think is the right word. It's become systemic racism. I mean, you're right. Nobody other than somebody who's living it can really, really understand it. I mean, I read this in my research. Great excerpt from a book an African-American man said, nobody can appreciate the fact that, if I get a flat tire and I go into a store, the first thing that it feels like the store owner is thinking is, this person's going to rob me, you know, and what that really feels like. And, you know, the systemic nature of that, the idea that, you know, it's interesting, if you look at statistics that show, for instance, African Americans are disproportionately more impoverished than white Americans. Now, you either have two choices there. You can either acknowledge that verifiable statistic and say, yeah, you know, the economy, there is structural racism there. Or if you don't acknowledge that, then you're a racist. Then you're a racist in a different way. You're saying, well, African Americans, something is inherently wrong with African Americans to make them not earn as much as white people. And that's another form. That's even worse racism. So you either have to acknowledge that there's systemic racism in this country, or you're going to end up walking down the road of being basically an overt racist by saying somehow African Americans, in this example, don't have the ability to earn a better living. I think it's systemic racism. That's really what's going on. Thanks for the call. 851, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll close out this discussion of the Sonia Sotomayor nomination. Do you think her nomination will evoke the Republican politics of racial backlash, and how do we fight back? 303-713-7600. Then in the 9 a.m. hour, Apocalypse 2012, we're going to be having on a scientist who's got a new book out about how solar flares could genuinely imperil the planet in 2012, but there is a way to stop it that's actually not too difficult and is or could be stimulus related. So stick around. Let's get a traffic update.
About the slowest stretch of this morning's commute is the southbound side of 225. This is after Parker Road, taking you towards DTC. Pockets through there are going to drop into the 20-mile-an-hour range, so do factor that into your ride. The rest of the highway is starting to look a little bit better. Southbound I-25, busy, but no significant delays as you're making your way across the downtown area. Still may find some patchy fog outside the city limits along I-25 near those Berthoud and Longmont exits, but that should clear off as the sun's out. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Jazzy geraniums and perfect petunias can be yours this year. It's easy. Use Eco All-Purpose Potting Mix, then sit back, enjoy the results, and take the credit. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
I just lost my job.
Old Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery spring sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
Enjoy the summer on your outside deck. The Lumber Guy offers the lowest prices on everything you need to build a new deck or refurbish your existing one. The Lumber Guy has unbeatable prices on popular paint stone and retaining wall blocks. Make your home projects affordable with quality building materials from the Lumber Guy. 40 to 70% savings every day. The Lumber Guy is easy to find at East 50th in Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, right on 50th. Call the Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If the Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill wood products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
The Republican politics, the unfortunate Republican politics of racial backlash. Doug on the cell. Doug, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. Two quick things. I'm a white male, Jay's age, so I'm not a kid, married to an African-American woman. And I can say that while racism may not be overt at the institutional level, there are still overtly racist individuals.
Oh, yeah, that's undeniable.
I mean, Jeff's call about everybody treats everybody just great is like, what's he smoking? I want some.
What country are you living in?
But regarding Judge Sotomayor, I think her comment about being a Latina, you know, affecting how she might make decisions, I think that's common sense. How you are raised, your ethnic, your socioeconomic, your educational background all affect your worldview, and that will impact how you make decisions. A white male raised in Appalachia is not going to make decisions the same way as John Roberts did being raised under privilege.
Well, that's right. And although I Sotomayor does make the distinction in that speech, she said, listen, there have been courts dominated by white men that have issued very progressive judgments on issues primarily affecting African Americans. Brown v. Board of Education is an example. Her only point was, and I think, again, as you said, it's undeniable, that people who have actually lived through some of those issues may have a better, different, newer, more nuanced, more sophisticated perspective. And that perspective, I think, is extremely important, especially in an institution like the Supreme Court, where they are facing gray area after gray area after gray area. A court case doesn't get to the Supreme Court unless it needs... The law needs interpretation, and interpretation means these judges take all of their experience together, their legal experience, their life experience, to make a judgment for the country. And I agree with you. I don't think there's anything controversial, even though it will be billed controversial, that Sotomayor is saying that, is being honest. At least she's being honest. John Roberts isn't honest if he says, I'm not saying he says this, but if he says, hey, me, my experience has nothing to do with my judgment, that's just not honest. Just because you're white and male doesn't mean that that perspective isn't impacting your judgments. It most certainly is, and we've got an entire American history to show that that's true. Doug, thanks for the call. All right, Bruce on the cell, you're the last call of the hour. Bruce.
Hi, David. I'm going to try to be quick. I know you're out of time. I just wanted to quickly point out that if you look back to the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearing, one could easily make the argument that the left plays racial politics with just about as much passion as the right in a lot of ways. I mean, you look at that Anita Hill episode, and the case could be made that people were playing on the whole black male virility thing, and the left almost reflexively believed Anita Hill
But none of those people seem to believe Juanita Broderick when she made assertions of her own. So, you know, that argument can go both ways.
Well, I'll give you this, and I am out of time, but I'll give you this. Both sides have certainly played the politics of race in ugly ways. Both parties certainly have. And the hope is that the Sotomayor nomination, we can actually get past that. I'm not confident that we can, but I think it may be a step forward. Thanks for the call. All right, stick around. In the next hour, Apocalypse 2012, we're going to have on an author who's got a book out about that. It's going to be interesting. You don't want to miss it.
60 Minutes.
To CBS World News Roundup.
I'm Charles Gross.
Today on Face the Nation.
Special CBS News presentation.
The latest CBS podcasts are available on AM760.net. Stay informed with AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Does tax debt leave you consumed with worry? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? If you're tired of feeling stressed over your tax problems, turn to Tax Debt Bailout now for a free review of your situation. Call 1-800-501-0641. If you're facing back taxes, wage garnishment, a tax lien, bank levy, audit, or property seizure, let our tax relief specialists deal with the IRS so you don't have to. Tax Debt Bailout saves taxpayers like you precious time and millions of dollars every year. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, know your rights and take action. For peace of mind and your free review, call the Tax Debt Bailout now at 1-800-501-0641. That's 1-800-501-0641. Don't wait another minute. Call 1-800-501-0641.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. It's almost certain that General Motors will be rolling into bankruptcy court early next week. Today, the automaker announced that many of its bondholders have turned thumbs down to a debt-for-stock swap. More from reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
The bondholders objected to GM's proposal from day one. Some have insurance that will cover their losses. Others think they could be better off in bankruptcy court. GM says there will be no sweetened offer, and the board will decide where to go from here. Most analysts expect a bankruptcy filing early next week.
Chrysler goes back before a bankruptcy judge today, looking for permission to sell its assets to a group headed by the Italian automaker Fiat. AutoBeat Daily's Katie Kerwin says an okay from the judge would mean the major hurdle's been cleared.
This whole idea of a quick rinse bankruptcy that somebody could be in and out in 30 to 60 days seems very improbable. And yet, with Chrysler, it seems to be very much moving in that direction.
Unless there's a firm deal by a week from Friday, though, Fiat could back out. Some better news for the housing market. The National Association of Realtors says sales of existing homes climbed by nearly 3% last month. But the association's Walter Maloney says the increase came at the expense of prices.
Distressed homes are 45% of sales. That's with foreclosures and short sales. So the median price in April was $170,200. That's down 15.4% from a year ago.
ID theft is a serious problem and a growing one for the medical community. Let's get the details live from CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
Someone you don't know goes to the doctor and you get hit with the bill. It can and does happen. People stealing IDs not to just run up charges on a credit card, but to get medical care at your expense. Linda Foley's tracking more of it at the Identity Theft Resource Center, finding more cases where thieves use ID or credit card numbers in a flurry.
Just use it for like 1 week and then go on to another one, which makes them virtually impossible to catch.
And for the victim, it means months of trying to make things right. Nick?
More belligerents from North Korea. Along with test firing another missile within days of an underground nuclear blast, Pyongyang is denouncing South Korea. CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson has more from Beijing.
The South announced it will join a U.S.-led effort at intercepting ships suspected of carrying North Korean weapons on the way to other countries. The North says any such interdiction by the South will be considered an act of war.
New violence in Pakistan. Gunmen attacked a police headquarters in the city of Lahore and set off a car bomb that left at least 24 people dead. Government officials say the attack was in retaliation for the Pakistan Army's offensive against Taliban insurgents in the Swat Valley. Saudi Arabia's oil minister suggests that OPEC will keep its output steady at its upcoming meeting as oil prices rose to six-month highs today. Right now, oil is trading at more than $62 a barrel. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 20 points, the Nasdaq up 13. This is CBS News.
This summer, when you're getting ready to take the family on the road, Sears will make sure your car is just as prepared. Hurry into the Sears Automotive Center, where you'll find one of the largest selections of brand-name tires all on sale. That's a lot of tires. Plus, when you buy three of our best-selling Bridgestone tires, you'll get the fourth free. Walk-ins and appointments are welcome. So hurry into Sears, because this offer ends May 31st. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
Honey, do I look...
That in those jeans? Nope.
Would you...
Take out the trash? Yep. Hey, can I...
Go play golf? Maybe.
Things getting too predictable at home? Here's something different. It's our biggest free nights deal ever. Stay any two nights at over 4,000 hotels, including Holiday Inn, Holiday Inn Express, Hotel Indigo, and Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts. And you get a free night for a future stay. To register, visit getafreenight.com.
Stay two nights from May 4th through July 3rd. Redeem free night from July 3rd through December 26, 2009. Visit getafreenight.com for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. A Fortune 500 company that operates kidney dialysis centers will be the latest California transplant to Colorado. Healthcare giant DaVita is moving to Denver. One of the company's biggest fans is singer Natalie Cole, who spoke on CNN's Larry King Live last month.
There's a wonderful facility that I go to called DaVita. There's now 1,400 of these facilities around the country.
DaVita is moving to Denver from Southern California. For the first time, Colorado's current U.S. senators have a chance to vote on a Supreme Court nominee. Senator Mark Udall says Judge Sonia Sotomayor has an impressive judicial resume, but that he hasn't made up his mind.
I'm going to take my time and study Judge Sotomayor's record. I hope to have a chance to meet her personally and take her measure.
Udall says Sotomayor has a compelling personal story and appears to be a valuable potential addition to the court. And Vice President Joe Biden will be in Colorado Springs today to address graduating cadets at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Nuggets and Lakers, Game 5 tonight in L.A. The series tied at two games apiece. And the Rockies finish up their series this afternoon with the Dodgers at Coors Field. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale, now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Things are winding down pretty quickly right now. Leftover heavy pockets on I-25 between the Tech Center and downtown, but those will only add a minute or two onto your drive. We're also seeing some slight delays. This is on the westbound side of 36, right around Foothills. As you're making your way towards Boulder, could tack a minute or two onto that ride. Outside the metro on I-70, right around Georgetown, you could find some construction crews working on both sides of the highway. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a nice day today with mostly sunny skies and a high around 72 degrees. Currently, we're at 61. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Next time you're at King Soopers, look for new lower prices on chicken and all ground meats. The new lower prices will help you put food on the table for a lot less.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet. After a huge success in movie theaters, Kung Fu Panda is set to hit the small screen. Nickelodeon is planning a 26-episode television series revolving around the martial arts-loving panda Po. It's not known yet if Jack Black will reprise his role as the voice of the panda in the series, which is set to launch sometime next year.
Showbuzz. Ladies and gentlemen,
action.
Showbuzz.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
So you run Windows at your desk. You have an Airport Express hooked up to your stereo. You want to stream music from your PC to the big speakers. Impossible? Not with Airfoil from the guys at Rogue Amoeba. This isn't anything new, but they've just released version 2.7, which improves many of its features and now supports the Airfoil Speakers Touch app, which streams to your iPhone or iPod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Who we start worrying about the sun, you know, I have a family, a daily life. We all have enough to, you know, to think about and fear without worrying about the sun. I mean, the sun is the most constant figure, I think, in everyone's life, even more constant in a way than God, whether you believe or not. You know, I mean, the sun's always there behind the clouds or not, and the idea of it changing in some way was unfathomable. So, but I couldn't dismiss this idea. Because Roger's specialty is plasma physics, and plasma is essentially energy in gaseous form, and the sun is a great big ball of plasma, so the behavior of plasmas is his specialty. But mostly to shut him up, I went onto the NASA and European Space Agency websites and found that the sun had indeed been behaving out of character, out of the pattern in which it had been predicted, and the only thing that everybody could agree upon was that the next solar climax would come in 2012. And what's a solar climax? It's when the sun has the most sunspots, the most storms on the sun, and invariably some of those storms issue from the sun and hit the Earth. And that was coming in 2012. So then, on impulse, I Googled just 2012 to see what would happen, and I fell down this rabbit hole of, New Age exotic interpretations, which were interesting, but again, not my style. I just don't really know how to relate to a lot of that. But I saw at the bottom of it was the ancient Mayan prophecy, which a little digging led me to find was based on some very rigorous astronomy. I mean, 1,500, 2,000 years ago, these folks without so much as a lens, much as a computer or satellite, were charting the movements of the heavens, eclipses, and so many different celestial phenomena within tenths of a percentage point of what we now, with our supercomputers, know to be true or believe to be true. And I thought, this is very interesting, you know, the prophecy at least derives from something very rigorous and scientific, ancient, but it doesn't mean it wasn't rigorous or scientific. That's a common mistake that people make, that scientific is new. I mean, science has been going on for quite some time. But then it occurred to me that just because you read it on the internet, that the ancient Maya said such and such a thing, that, well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. You know, are you an ancient Mayan? So after a little digging, I decided to go down to Guatemala to meet with two Mayan shamans, Carlos and Gerardo Barrios, who themselves had spent about 20 years going around talking to the sages and elders and shamans of the former Mayan kingdom to see what the prophecies actually were about 2012 and everything else, to, you know, come up with, see if there was a consensus and, you know, what it was. I like people who do their homework. And I like these guys because they went around and they found out that indeed the ancient Mayan prophecy for 2012 is that it will be the birth of a new era. And that, like any other birth, it'll be accompanied by joy, blood, and pain. They do not predict that it will be the end of the world, that God is going to throw the great off switch in the sky, that everything's going to blow up into a, you know, a fine mist and that'll disappear, but it will be the birth of a new era. And, they're quite specific about the timing, less specific about what would happen. And that's where I begin to understand that there's a great cross-cultural, necessity to study 2012, to study in that way, because the Maya are good at what? they're good at predicting when. They don't necessarily know what's going to happen. They're like, this is the timing. Y'all figure out what's going to happen exactly.
Okay, you know? Let me stop you there. We're talking to Lawrence Joseph. He's the author of the new book, Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. And 2012 has been bandied about for years as this potential apocalyptic or you know big moment. And you say that the Mayans, because the Mayan prophecy that there's going to be a rebirth, and I'm reading on your website that there's going to be a rebirth on December 21st, 2012. You say that they've been good at predicting the winds. Are there some examples of them having predicted stuff in the past that seem to have come true?
Yes. They predicted in our date 1519 that their civilization would be destroyed by butterflies, which at first glance doesn't sound like a very logical prediction. Or to have happened, but the butterflies were Cortez's ships, the sails of Cortez's ships. And that's when the Spaniards arrived and conquered, devastated, depends on the political spin you want to put on it, but really did, you know, put an end to the Mayan civilization. I mean, and so that was interesting.
How long before did they predict that?
Well, it's always hard to tell, but in codices, codex is sort of a hieroglyphic Bible and calendar both that they compile. They go back prior to 1519 at least 500 years.
So 500 years, roughly 500 years before that 1519 date, they made that prophecy.
Yeah. What's equally impressive to me is that with the prediction for 2012 is that we would in 2012 move into what they call the fifth age or the ethereal age. The other ages, you know, as many other civilizations characterize things, earth, air, fire, and water. And this is the fifth element of ether, which is a substance without substance. It's more a void. It's more theoretical and conceptual. And for a long time, ether was the word we used to describe outer space. And I'm thinking 1,500 years ago, at minimum, you picked 2012 for the time when mankind would begin to move into outer space. It's not far off. I mean, 1957 was the launch of Sputnik with the technical beginning, and certainly, I mean, they got the era right, if not the spot-on date. That, you know, I'd like to see how well we would do predicting 1,500 years into the future.
Yeah, right. We can't predict the weather the next day. That's right. We're talking to Lawrence Joseph, the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. All right, so what are some real-world current examples of what this could be? Now, you mentioned the solar flares, the solar storms.
Mm-hmm.
And Wired magazine had written a piece about a number of, I believe it was NASA scientists, who said they are concerned about this. They are concerned about essentially electromagnetic pulses via these solar storms impacting
our energy grid in a really, really explosive way unless we make basic changes, and actually relatively affordable changes to that grid. What are some other examples of is on your radar screen?
Let's stick with that one because they interviewed me for that piece. And if there's, rather than, if you wouldn't mind going down the smorgasbord of things, I'd like to pay attention to that one. Because,
sure.
And you have to realize, I've been writing about this for, I just finished my second book on the subject, which will come out in January. It's also called Apocalypse 2012, The Aftermath. And so I've been researching, writing about this for 5 years. And for much of that time, I've felt, you know, I'm a science writer. I used to write for the New York Times a lot and have a couple of books out. And, you know, then I've taken this kind of left turn into strange prophecy. And at times I've felt both alone and, I don't know, wondering about what I did. But in May 2008, the National Academy of Sciences held a workshop, which they published the proceedings of in December 2008. 150 pages pointing to the imminent peril to our electrical power grid and the next solar climax of storms that could knock out the power grid comes in 2012. This is quite both a validation and frankly scared the heck out of me. It's funny. I mean, you'd think I would have, you know, been, you know, since I've been saying this for a long time, I would have been prepared for it, but it was, you know, the National Academy of Sciences is sort of like the Supreme Court of scientific opinion in
right.
the United States.
Right. They're not exactly a crackpot operation.
No, they're not. And there's page after page pointing out how the electrical power grid has become much more susceptible and, in fact, would likely be knocked out if storms of the caliber that we've had in the last 100-150 years of solar storms were to hit today. And I went on and interviewed some of those scientists for my next book, and I wanted to get it straight. You know, why is this important, and how do we prevent it? Because there was a storm in 1859 and another one in 1921 that if we got today would cripple civilization. And I realized what a paradox progress is. That, you know, thank God we have electricity and we do all our cool stuff and, you know, have our luxuries and learn more and enjoy more and, you know, watch the Lakers play the Nuggets and all like that. But the flip side is that we are so dependent on it. We can't flush a toilet without electricity.
Well, and also that the electrical grid itself represents progress, and the electrical grid itself, the interconnectivity of it, the voltage on it, has actually, according to this report, has actually made it particularly vulnerable, that it's actually created that vulnerability for us technologically.
Absolutely. And so the storms that would have done that, nothing more than give us a beautiful display of northern lights or, you know, maybe sizzle a few circuits here and there in 1859 and even in 1921 when we were largely electrified, but when the grid didn't really exist, it was more city by city power generation. Now, because we are so heavily interconnected and whizzing around at such high voltages, we are mortally in danger from a solar storm of that magnitude or even less, to knocking out civilization. And I met with one of the scientists. He gave me a three-hour PowerPoint presentation, and his conclusion was, and he wasn't challenged by his colleagues in the report, was that 130 million people could be without power for months or years.
Man, that's incredible. We're talking to Lawrence Joseph. He's the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. I'm putting you on the spot here. If you can, it's okay, but can you stick with us for another segment?
Sure.
Another 10, 15 minutes, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, so hang on. We're going to get back to Lawrence Joseph. He's the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation to Civilization's End. I've just put him on the spot, asked him to stick around a little longer so I can get in a couple more questions. And then we'll take your calls about whether you think Apocalypse 2012 is a real potential. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk 922. Let's get a traffic update.
Not a bad drive as you're out and about right now. Northbound I-25, busy right around Broadway, but no delays. 225 also looking good across Aurora. No problems to report on C-470 along the foothills either. Now, I-25 in the Springs, however, is going to be a different story that because of the Air Force graduation ceremonies going on. So do factor that into your ride. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If healthy plants and beautiful flowers are what you want, then Eco Compost is what you need. You've tried the rest, now use the best.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America. And it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury products, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we're the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 R.L. Polk data.
800-303-9218.
Concerts for Kids is proud to present the Flowbots at the Fillmore Auditorium Saturday, June 6th. VIP patron tickets and corporate packages available. Call 303-605-2885. Concerts for Kids raises money for local children's charities through entertainment. For more information, visit www.concertsforkids.org or call 303-605-2885.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. On the line, Lawrence Joseph, the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. It's a new book out about, well, just what it says it's about. Finishing up our interview here, okay, so we know about the solar storms that could create this electromagnetic problem in our big problem in our electricity grid. What about some of the other possibilities? I mean, you know, I've heard when I lived up in Montana for a couple of years, there was all that talk about the Yellowstone super volcano. There's been talk about a meteor hitting the Earth. I remember a couple of years ago. NASA has a website where you can look at the possibility of a meteor, specific meteors hitting the Earth, and it got down, I think, got down to something like a 1 in 500 chance that one of them was gonna hit us. What about those possibilities? What about other possibilities?
David, happy to answer the question. Just want to add one more thing. Sorry to
sure. No, go ahead.
We can save the power grid. This is the thing. For an outlay of between $200 and $500 million, which I know is a lot of money, but heck, you know, another $100 billion to bail out AIG, we could scrape a percentage point or two off of that and save the power grid. It's simply put, what happens is the solar storm hits the Earth, injects electricity into the Earth's surface. That electricity then comes up from the ground and blows the power grid. You just gotta stick resistors in between the transformers of the power grid and the ground. So when the jolt of electricity comes up, it's dealt with.
So that's a completely, certainly a manageable problem if we have a little bit of foresight.
Yes, and you know, we're allocating a total of about $47 billion to smarten up the grid. I mean, $25 billion directly. So this is a perfect opportunity to take care of a lot of problems and secure our future. And I've just got to, you know, emphasize that, just that we could deal with this right now.
And the battle on that is just getting the word out. I mean, they're giving away money hand over fist to every priority under the sun. No pun intended.
Yes.
So this is one of those ones that we could actually try to mitigate. What about the other ones?
Well, there, you know, for example, you talk about an asteroid or a comet hitting the Earth. There are those who say we could do something about that. We could create a weapon that would protect us. And that might possibly happen. I have to say I'm against that $1 trillion expenditure on the chance that something comes flying in. I don't know if it would work, and I think we've got more pressing issues here. But recently some scientists have done some studies about where they confirmed that a comet impact caused the Great Flood, written of in Noah and many other mythologies. And it's a scientist out of Los Alamos National Labs, stuck myths all around the world, stuck them into a supercomputer, found that almost a majority of them indicated a great flood at the same time in history. And he calculated where the comet would have to have hit, contacted another colleague who used NASA satellite data, who found the impact crater and the telltale signs of it in the Indian Ocean off of Madagascar. What's interesting there, aside from just confirming the great legend of Noah as actual scientific fact, was that it was a relatively smaller impact than we had previously been calculating could destroy civilization or really shake us up. It just set off rainstorms for about a month. And today, with so many people living, and we have 6.5 billion people, I think two-thirds of them live within 100 miles of the coast. It's something like that. I'm sorry. It's something like that. The flooding, the devastation from such flooding would be incomprehensible. Again, we've progressed in so many ways, but we're also imperiled in so many ways. So his findings and the team's findings, they're called the Holocene Impact Working Group, great bunch of scientists. Have learned so much, have shed so much light on what even a smaller, quote-unquote, impact could do to us today.
And let me ask you this question then. The final question I have for you, which I'm sure you've gotten before. Based on all of this research that you've done, what are you going to do in 2012? I mean, what should we do? We know to advocate for these resistors to protect the grid, but what let's just say one of these things is going to happen. What can we do? What are you going to personally do? What's the action call here?
Well, I believe in taking refuge in your own life. I don't believe in heading to the hills unless you're somebody who, you know, who knows and loves and lives in the hills. I'm a New York boy. I'd much rather take my chances with negotiating an alliance in a crowd than you know, trying to figure out what to do with a shotgun and a forest. But that's, you know, you play to your strengths. You start by making a family emergency plan. And by the word family, I mean blood relatives, them who you consider family, who think of you the same. And you think of what should we do if an emergency lasts, say, a couple days or a week. It's pretty easy. Basically, just needing some clothes, your medicine, if you take any, and some access to some water and, you know, a couple of cans of food. But if going longer, I mean, I have to say, I never gave the folks who were going off grid all that much credit, other than, you know, they're going to save some electricity and do some good environmental work, which I guess is good enough, but that's one thing I'd seriously look into. I live in Southern California now, and, we got plenty of sunshine here, and one of the things I'm planning to do is, you know, harness some of that. But mostly it's begin now, making networks, making plans, setting aside things. Instead of taking, for example, this year I always take the kids down to SeaWorld. I think I'm going to say that always runs a couple thousand bucks when you're all said and done. I'm going to put that away, and we're going to retrofit the house a little bit, make it a project. No, it's not as fun as watching Shamu jump up and down, but you know, it's a good thing to do together.
It's the little things, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and the other thing is to cry out. I mean, really, it could be, you know, for want of a nail, the kingdom was lost. And seriously, between $200 and $500 million. By the way, nobody's going to pay me a penny of that. So this is, you know, there's no ulterior motive here. We could really protect not only the power grid, but can you imagine how our enemies might want to move against us if all of a sudden, you know, there's a nationwide blackout that seems irreparable for months or years? I mean, this is important stuff, and your listeners can make a real powerful impact.
Lawrence Joseph, the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. You can get the book now. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
My pleasure, David.
That was Lawrence Joseph. Again, his book is Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. And after the break, we're going to open up the phones to hear what you think. Do you think there is a possibility that the world, I know it sounds crazy, but that the world will come to an end in 2012? If so, what are you most nervous about? Which of these phenomena? A supervolcano at Yellowstone National Park, which seems... some say is overdue to erupt again, a meteor, one of these solar flares. A NASA report says that solar storms could create a geomagnetic pulse that could overload the electrical grid. That wouldn't necessarily end the world, but it certainly would change the world. What do you think about all this? 303-713-7600. We've got open phones. 303-713-7600. The Mayans had predicted thousands of years ago that there would be some sort of major event on December 21st, 2012. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Or do you not buy it? Let us know. 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update. Hopefully it's not apocalyptic.
Not a bad drive is around and about right now. Northbound I-25 busy right around Broadway, but no delays. 225 also looking good across Aurora. No problems to report on C-470 along the foothills either. Now, I-25 in the Springs, however, is going to be a different story than because of the Air Force graduation ceremonies going on. So do factor that into your ride. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Last chance to lock in last spring's low-rate Rocky Mountain Super Pass Plus, only $49 down. Get unlimited skiing and riding at Winter Park and Copper Plus 6 days at Steamboat. The $49 down offer is over May 31st. Get yours at select Christie Sports Stores or SkiColorado.com.
You know what the Snuggies are right there for people who can't deal with...
You're sitting at your desk right now working, aren't you? And if you hear this commercial again later, I'm pretty certain you'll still be working.
And tomorrow, working.
What's missing from this picture? There's no playtime.
And even if you're playing at your computer, you're not playing outside. You're not connecting with your kids or working up a healthy sweat.
Lucky for you, now is a perfect time to play. Tennis. May is tennis month in America. Time to play. Again.
Or for the first time.
Time to give the couch some time off. Time to hear, nice shot.
And time to hear the sound we never grow too old for.
To get back in the game, go to TennisMonth.com and find courts, find partners, find your game.
That's TennisMonth.com.
Or pull up the screen on your computer right now and click on the United States Tennis Association banner to see all the ways the USTA is ready to help you play.
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. solaripes.com. SOLARIPS.com.
60 Progressive Talk, shifting gears a little bit. What do you think about the prospect for Apocalypse 2012? In the first part of this hour, we heard from Lawrence Joseph, the author of the new book, Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. Remember, the Mayan prophecy says that there's going to be some sort of major event in 2012. NASA has issued a report recently saying that our electrical grid is susceptible in a major way to solar storms that they expect will be coming. What do you think? Do you buy it, or do you not buy it? 303-713-7600. George in Lakewood, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning, David. Great show.
Thanks.
You know, being an American Indian guy, you know, I know all these stories that have been handed down to me and my families, and it's not just the Mayans, it's the Hopi, the Lakota, all the way through, all indigenous folks here, we all have a story. This is what's happening. It's a cycle that you go through. So all my life, I've been like, you know, kind of bombarded with both sides. Science, we don't know. And then, you know, the myth side or the oral tradition side says we know, but we just don't know exactly how to explain it scientifically. So I've been going about my life trying to figure part of that. And what I've ultimately come to the conclusion with is that science has now explained it. And in Russia, they call it torsion physics. In America, they call it hyperdimensional physics. But it's the physics of the gravity of rotating bodies. And since, you know, we're at the edge of our solar system and the black holes that are at the center of the galaxy are emitting these giant pulses of energy, there's this plane of existence, kind of like a giant record player, you know? And at the edge of the record player, when it gets hot, you know, it kind of warps. So if you can imagine our solar system on this plane, and it's kind of sort of warping, going up and down through the galactic plane, and it happens every 12,500 years, which we're coming to, and December 21st, 2012 will be the final day that our last planet, Pluto, enters into this galactic band of high energy. And when that happens, apparently, imagine your body going into a swimming pool, lower, 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 and finally just your little pinky at the end. Your consciousness is totally focused on your pinky until it finally goes underwater. And when you do, you're in a new place. So that's kind of like the body our solar system is kind of going through, and we're all feeling that. And the magnetic pulse that they're talking about is this pulse of energy that's emitted from the center of the galaxy that will shoot through our sun just like every other star and come out in electrical form and, you know, to our magnetic pulse here at the Earth and spark hit. And so everything, our bodies are electric to trees, you know, everything lives off this type of thing. So ultimately the ability is to be able to take the jolt, breathe through it, live through it, and move to a higher frequency. Now, if you can't do that, you know, those are the problems that people are facing today. They're kind of just popping off, you know, like a resistor blowing. It's the same thing as electrical grid in a person.
So you really buy it?
Not just buy it, I see it, I've seen it, you know, I've had my own, given my own visions long ago to things that will pass, and these things are happening in my life. So, you know, in what I do in working and, you know, as a liaison between both worlds, I see it more and more because the indigenous people, their voices are being raised, and what they're saying is be connected to the, expand your circle. That's how you make it through. You expand your circle, whether you're someplace highly dense, you know, or someplace less populated. The idea is to make it through. That's why the indigenous people on this continent have made it through for so long, because they know how to work together at special times. Now, just because we have an electrical grid doesn't mean that we don't know how to plant and take care of ourselves.
Well, that's right. And even on the electrical grid issue, it actually goes back to that principle, right? I mean, we heard from Lawrence Joseph, who said that, you know, it's a fairly easy way to deal with it, as long as we can come together as a society and say, hey, we need a little forethought here to put in these resistors and actually come together and do something that's a little bit, you know, looking ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what the Mayans were doing way back. And we don't know, you know, how much we knew back then. And the people, if they only knew how much they knew back then, they would be just feeling so, you know, like ants, because the reality is we believe that back then, 12,500 years ago, we were at the peak of all civilization in terms of knowledge, and we went through the galactic plane. They weren't prepared. The resistors blew. Our own consciousness blew, and all, just like the computer being erased, all that data was lost. So we went from the top to the very bottom, and we had to start over, and that's kind of where we're coming back up again. And so now we're not as far as we were before, obviously, because we're looking at the past to find if they're telling us what's happening, if they didn't, weren't telling us what was happening, we may not know.
Yeah, that's
However,
right. No, that's
our science has proven that it's actually happening. So they're afraid. They don't understand it. So you have to meld the two. And what it says is be prepared for this cyclical cycle that happens every 12,500 years. And your objective is to vibrate faster, vibrate with it. And the more you do, the more you feel, the more compassion you have, and the more you'll make it through. But if you resist compassion and have a closed heart and a closed mind, your resistors will blow.
Yeah, and you're potentially endangering yourself and your own society. Good point. Hey, thanks for the call. 942, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We heard from Lawrence Joseph, the author of Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. He's talking about potential solar flares, a new NASA report coming out saying that our electrical grid is susceptible to such solar flares and increased solar storms, the Yellowstone supervolcano, which is many people believe is overdue to erupt. Do you buy it? Do you think it's coming? Or do you think it's nonsense? The Mayans have been predicting some sort of major event in 2012. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Mike in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
All right.
Thanks for having this guest. I think it's really great. And your last caller was right on. I just wanted to echo that it's not just the Mayans. All indigenous cultures have these kinds of prophecies in them. I've read about the Mayans and things like this for years. And whether or not you do take it seriously, I mean, the prophecy aspect of it, just think of the practical issues that your guest spoke of. I mean, imagine your world without electricity for even a day or two. When he said that, we literally can't even flush our toilets without electricity, he's totally right. All of our water pressure is provided by electric pumps. Fuel, gasoline, diesel is pumped electrically, and a few days without that, we're pretty much in a bad situation where we have no water, no food on the grocery shelves. So, from a practical standpoint, it makes a lot of sense to prepare for something like that because we do have so many vulnerabilities built into our society right now.
Yeah, and the electrical grid thing is the thing that really piqued my interest when I was reading across the story that we ultimately asked Lawrence Joseph to come on the show about. You know, when I read the Wired article about it, and there's a NASA report about this, this is not some crackpot theory. This is
right.
This is real. These are scientists at in our government who we trust to analyze these things, who are saying, look, we need to make some kind of investment to protect this piece of infrastructure, the electrical grid, that's so important to us. I mean, it really is. You're right. When you really think about the electrical grid, you want to talk about something that's just absolutely crucial to the functioning of society.
Yeah.
Anybody who's been in their house during a storm or a blackout, and the blackouts lasted for a while, you start to become acutely aware of how much you and therefore society relies on that. And we have really done not very much, not just to protect the grid, we haven't done not enough to make the grid more efficient and smart. We haven't done enough to protect it. Who remembers that blackout in New York? What was it, like
exactly.
6 years ago?
Not that long ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago. And remember how small an event, what it was about? It was
a tree branch on a line put that whole thing up.
Right, that made the transformer in the in Ohio go haywire. I mean, New York City, right? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And our last administration, they have invested $0 in infrastructure. So just think about how fragile the systems are right now.
Yeah, and I think Lawrence Joseph was right when he said, look, first thing we got to do is mitigate and fix the problems we can fix. I mean, we can't really stop a meteor. We can't really stop the supervolcano near Yellowstone Park from exploding if it's going to do that. We can certainly watch to see if it's going to explode, and if we get a sense that it's going to, get people out of there. But one thing we can do is better secure our electrical grid. We know we can do that, and not doing it seems crazy. Mike, thanks for the call. 9:47, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. That's the book from Lawrence Joseph, who we just had on. Do you believe it? Do you believe the Mayan prophecy that says a big, maybe apocalyptic event is coming in 2012, or do you think it's hogwash? Orlando in Lakewood, you're on AM 760.
Hello?
Hi there.
Oh, no, this is David in Denver.
Oh, okay. Fire away.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of reading up on this stuff for about 30 years now, the apocalypse and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Started out as more of a religious kind of study, and then it got more into the science of it. I read different authors. And I think the guy you had on is... he's right on, because like some of the other callers just said, different cultures have different takes on this. You can get into the Christian apocalyptic viewpoint. And, yeah, something's definitely coming down the pike, and it's huge. And it could all blow over, or it could get very bad, or it could get kind of, everything could kind of mellow out. I'm talking on religious scenarios, political. So, you know, I think we're going to find out in the next month or so. There'll be some major changes from what I've been reading. But something's definitely, there's going to be some big changes coming up.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if I believe the prophecy. What I can say is that it's definitely true that there are a lot of aspects of our society that seem unprepared for major changes in general, and that we got to do a better job of preparing ourselves. Now, whether it means it's going to be apocalyptic, I mean, you know, the term apocalyptic is so loaded that it's hard to know. You know, I mean, is the collapse of the electrical grid for a couple of months, would that be apocalyptic? I mean, I don't know. Are we prepared for that? Probably not. Should we be better prepared for that? Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 is the number. We'll do a couple more calls after the break. Again, the book is Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. Do you believe the Mayan prophecy that says 2012 will be, if not the end of the world, some major event? Or do you think it's hogwash? We heard from the author of that book, Apocalypse 2012, who went through a number of scenarios that are quite disturbing. We'll review them after the break. And the one that really got me is this NASA report. If you haven't heard about it, stick around. I'll fill you in after the break, and we'll take your calls. 303-713-7600 after this traffic update.
Not a bad drive as you're out and about right now. Northbound I-25 busy right around Broadway, but no delays. 225 also looking good across Aurora. No problems to report on C-470 along the foothills either. Now, I-25 in the Springs, however, is going to be a different story that because of the Air Force graduation ceremonies going on. So do factor that into your ride. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tired of happy hour specials that really aren't so special? Try the new Grand Happy Hour at Grand Lux Cafe, weekdays from 4 to 6 at Park Meadows Mall. They have daily specials on appetizers, beer, wine, and today's featured cocktail, the Vodka Pink Lemonade, is only $5.
Randy Rhodes.
You know, they're lying. They're saying that it's people from my...
Derek Figueroa, CFO for Denver-based Seattle Fish Company, on why he picked the CU Executive MBA program.
I did a lot of research on executive MBA programs, and CU was the one that came back with the best recommendation. CU's executive MBA allowed me to go back into my company and contribute in key ways that I couldn't have before. It's really paid off. Check it out for yourself.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. That's 623-1888.
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business, all for a buck an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
The world may come to an end or experience a major, major event. On December 21st, 2012, the NASA report that I mentioned before the break, again, NASA has issued a report saying that increased electromagnetic activity and solar flares are happening on the surface of the sun and could endanger our power grid unless we invest somewhere between $300 and $500 million putting in special resistors to protect the grid. So this is some of this is not, you know, just theory here. This is these are scientists employed by our government. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Orlando in Lakewood, you're on AM 760.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yes, I'm all about this 2012. I talked to all my family and my friends, and they think I'm a little obsessed about it. I do believe something major is going to come down. There was an asteroid that zipped between the moon and our Earth on March 2nd, and it was called DD45. But they did not tell us about this asteroid until March 5th, after it already passed. But Australia already knew that it was not going to pose a threat to our planet. But neither of the least, they did not tell us till after it passed. So whether it was a threat or not, I don't think they were going to tell us. They don't want to create havoc on our planet.
So you think that what may be happening or may be coming down the pike that we're not being told about?
There's a hush-hush about it because they don't want to create havoc. They don't want... You already see now the market's already unstable and the economy. And adding this to it, the whole thing, just going to make things worse.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is a veil of secrecy around things like this. That's for sure. I mean, it was funny when I looked up that meteor, that potential for a meteor impact. It was like buried on NASA's site. I mean, it was public, but it was kind of buried on their site. It was very, very strange. Very, very strange, and I think you're right. I mean, I think the incentive is to not incite panic, that's for sure. Thanks for the call. Tom in Aurora, you're on AM 760. Tom.
Hey, David. Nice show. I enjoy hearing you.
Thanks.
I think there's going to be something happening. You know, I agree with Mr. Joseph that as far as what's manageable is the electrical grid is manageable. Other things like a comet hit or... the super volcano erupting, those aren't really manageable. We can't manage those. So, but I think, especially for people in, he said in California and here in Colorado where we have so much sunshine, one way we can manage the grid going down is to, get our houses solar, you know, or to get solar power on our houses, whether you go off the grid or not, there is a way to, get solar power and still be on the grid and actually get money back from the power company for that.
Yeah, well, getting off the grid, I mean, or making the grid less interconnected is actually in many ways a good thing, right? I mean, there is a theory that the interconnectivity of our grid, the fact that we have one huge grid, actually makes us incredibly vulnerable because if one piece of the grid goes down, it can impact the rest of the grid. That was the whole Ohio explosion that created the New York blackout. And it just shows you that interconnectivity, it's great for some things, but it can create massive vulnerabilities. And if you don't protect against them, then you're really making yourself vulnerable. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Ross in Centennial, you're on AM 760. Ross.
Hi, David, yes. I actually have read another book about 2012 by an author named Daniel Pinchbeck. It's called 2012, Return of Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl is actually a Mayan god, and winged serpent is going to return at that time. to usher in a new age. But he's a shaman himself. He has interviewed lots of shamans all over the world. And the one thing he took away from it is shamanic cultures and native cultures, indigenous cultures, they think more in terms of cyclical time and how time just really cycles around, whereas Western civilization's concept of time is more linear. And we are now coming into a descending spiral where we're going into a vortex, and time gets less and less, gets faster and faster as you get to the center of this vortex. So when that author that you had on talking about the Ethernet, or talking about the ether world, that's really where we're going to be in that ether. We're going to be coming out of a material material existence into the ether existence. The other thing that he talks about is the evolution of a global consciousness in this on this planet, and he says it may take something, a disaster that affects us all, to jolt us into a global consciousness, because if it's something that affects everyone, the human race, we may be a little more inclined to work together and to think together. So I, of course, that could cause us all sorts of problems, having a disaster like that. But it's really what he wants to, what he's trying to get across this book is that we may get to that, to more of an indigenous culture type consciousness that native cultures have been a part of for thousands of years and have been able to predict these things.
And I think the key is that the definition of apocalypse, I mean, we don't really know what the Mayans had predicted. As the author Lawrence Joseph said, we don't know that the Mayans were predicting an end of the world, just a major event. And I think we have to keep that in mind. All right, that's been the show here on this Wednesday. I'll be here all week. Tip your waiters and waitresses. Until